like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There is an addendum this evening, and it was with respect to an appendix to a report which was circulated to council. It's with respect to report PDS 34-2017. I can say that because we only have one item on the consent agenda, we'll simply be calling for a motion with respect to that one report as opposed to going to a consent agenda. And also the public meeting doesn't specify it, but Matt Kernahan is here from the town staff to provide the introductory comments when we get to that report. Just a few announcements. I wanted to remind community that the Walk for Breast Cancer is scheduled for Sunday, May the 7th. It's this Sunday coming, isn't it? This Sunday coming. Registration is at 10 o'clock at the Bell Tower on Central Avenue, and the walk starts at 11 o'clock. It was a wonderful partnership between Dent Strong Company and the Niagara Peninsula Dental Association to release a book about oral health care for young people to the school boards and to the daycares and libraries in the municipality. That was held on Friday. Laura Schneider, her husband Bill, and her son Lyle, and Ron Berg, the artist, created this book, which is now going to be part of the programming at both the public and Catholic school boards and at the libraries and then daycares to encourage young children to brush their teeth and have healthy oral health care habits. That being one of the most significant deterrents to children doing well in school, aside from not those who don't eat properly, oral health is a big issue in our schools. So I want to commend all of those individuals for putting together that program and that book. Also, I did want to say that on Friday and Saturday, TASC, which is Therapy Alternatives for Special Needs Children and Now Adults, held two evenings of dinner theater at the Crystal Ridge Center. The Lions, Ridgeway Lions, prepared the meal, but there were large crowds both evenings. Over 210 people attended each evening for this event. And it's a group of volunteers who provide a program. This weekend's play was Willy Wonka and his Chocolate Factory. So these special needs individuals, children and adults, participate in the play, and it's unbelievably well done. They started practicing in September, so the amount of time, dedication, energy, commitment that the individuals put into this, not only the volunteers, but also those who participate, is incredible. And I wanted to congratulate a TASC. Their driving forces are Nancy Kaser and Walter DeVoe, and they and all of their volunteers are to be commended, and the sponsors as well. So that was last week. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. The closed session, item 11. I'm going to declare a pecuniary interest as I have a family member that may be impacted by council's decision.
Others. There being none, I'm going to go back to announcements. And Councillor Passero, I understand that you wanted to make comment about the upcoming Fire and Ice event.
Yes, thank you, Mayor DeCamp. I'm pleased that, once again, building on the success of last year's event, that Councillors Butler, Zanko, and myself are hosting an event that we have termed Party on the Patio. And basically what we do is we take the space at the Leisureplex, remove the ice, and convert it into a nice outdoor amphitheater-style patio area. And this year's theme is Fire and Ice. We're bringing in a fire show and demonstration, which I think is unlike anything else that has ever come to Fort Erie. Very excited about it. We also have a demonstration by Down the Rabbit Hole Theater, Peacock School of Dance, dinner, barbecue and all the fixings by Billy Bones, Cash Bar by Madison's Pub, and we have three great bands that we're welcoming. West Wind, a band all Fort Erie born individuals. They have been around longer than their band members would care to admit, and they tell me that most of the places they used to play in Fort Erie have burned down, but they're still going. So it's a thrill to welcome them back, to have Westwind. We also have Almost Hip, which is a renowned Tragically Hip tribute band. They're actually the longest running Tragically Hip tribute band on the planet. They've been going since 1990, based right where the Tragically Hip was, and they bring an absolutely amazing and inspiring Tragically Hip sound. You close your eyes, you think you're listening to one of the CDs from a live concert. And we also have The Associates, which is a renowned headliner here in Niagara. They play the casinos, they play charity gigs. Very happy to have them back in Fort Erie. We also have a prize draw that night for a $4,500 Caribbean vacation, and tickets are available at eventbrite.ca. You can search Party on the Patio. Tickets are $80 a person, $750 for a table of 10, or you can contact Marina, Kim, or myself to get your tickets directly. So May 20th, Party on the Patio, Fire and Ice here in Fort Erie. Proceeds going towards the Performing Arts Theater, and very, very excited, less than 3 weeks away. So if you have not got your tickets already, please do. It will sell out, so let us know. We'll set them aside, and we'll make those arrangements. Thank you, Mayor Redicom.
Thank you, Councilor Passero. So if there were no other disclosures of pecuniary interest, there are no there's no public notice of any upcoming meetings, but there is a public meeting this evening, and it relates to the rezoning of property located at 3823 Terrace Lane in Crystal Beach. And the ordinary process is we have a member of our municipal staff give some background to the council regarding the application, and then we ask if there's anyone who wishes to speak on behalf of the proponent of the rezoning, and then we ask for anyone who wishes to speak in favor of or opposed to or just has questions to ask about the application. So we'll start. This is a public meeting pursuant to the Planning Act. So we'll start with Mr. Kernahan. Good evening.
Thank you, Your Worship. A zoning bylaw amendment application was received from Michael Allen, architect, on behalf of Peter Cattu, the applicant, and Stephen Natasistic, who are owners of 3823 Terrace Lane. The purpose of the proposed zoning bylaw amendment is to permit the redevelopment of the site with a five-story building containing main floor commercial use and four stories above containing a total of seven residential condominium units. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the Planning Act by placing an ad in the April 6, 2017 edition of the Fort Erie Times newspaper, and residents living within 120 meters were sent the public notice by mail on the same date. This is an aerial photograph of the subject property as well as the surrounding neighborhood. Subject lands are located in the Crystal Beach neighborhood on the south side of Terrace Lane, adjacent to the Crystal Beach Waterfront Park. This is an aerial image highlighting the subject lands and surrounding land uses. The surrounding land uses consist of the following. To the north is Terrace Lane, Lake Avenue, and a semi-detached dwelling. To the south is Crystal Beach Waterfront Park and Lake Erie. To the east is a semi-detached dwelling. To the west is Crystal Beach Waterfront Park and the parking area associated with it. Subject property is designated environmental protection and commercial in the official plan. The environmental protection designation coincides with the 1 in 100 year flood line, wave uprush and erosion hazards as determined by the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority. The NPCA indicated during the pre-consultation process that the existing shore wall that is proposed to remain will effectively mitigate the hazard associated with the 1 in 100 year flood, wave uprush, and erosion hazards. Accordingly, the proposed development would be located in the area designated commercial. Commercial policies of the official plan permit the proposed ground floor commercial uses, as well as the residential condominium units above. This slide shows the natural heritage features in the vicinity of the site. The Lake Erie shoreline and waterfront park adjacent to the subject property are both identified as locally significant natural areas. Subject property is currently zoned hazard, H zone. The application proposes to change the zoning of the subject property from hazard zone to a site-specific core mixed-use 2 zone with some site-specific regulations. These regulations would relate to the following: to permit a maximum height of 5 stories and 20 meters, to permit a minimum rear yard of 0 meters, to permit a minimum interior side yard adjacent to a residential zone of 1.2 meters, to permit a minimum side yard setback for a restaurant or tavern, of 0 meters on the west side and 1.2 meters on the east side, as well as to recognize the longstanding lease agreement with the town to provide the required parking spaces for the residential use. This is the proposed site plan for the subject property. The property boundary is identified as the red hatch line. The existing building footprint of the Palmwood restaurant is shown as the thicker black line, and the proposed ground floor footprint is shown as the hatched black line. The upper floor footprint is shown as the smaller hatch line. Site plan also shows the existing parking area that is leased by the owner of the property and some proposed landscape improvements to this area. These are building renders. Top is looking north from the lake. The bottom here is looking to the southeast. Top one on this slide is looking northeast, and the bottom is looking northwest at the proposed building. This is a picture of the existing building looking towards the east. Picture of the existing building looking southwest. The picture of the existing building looking south from Lake Avenue. Picture of the leased parking area looking northeast. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. Do any members of council have any questions? Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Matt, just the last slide that we had up there, you identified that as the leased parking lot. A couple of weeks ago, we agreed to lease 11 spaces. That whole parking lot is not being leased. Is that correct?
No, that whole parking lot, I think Mr. Brady wants to answer this.
Mr. Brady.
Okay, thank you.
All of the parking lot was leased in the past to the owners of the Palmwood, and all of the parking lot will continue to be leased to the owners of the Palmwood. So no area has substantially changed.
Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, it was my understanding at our meeting that we leased 11 or 7 spaces. We were just going
to
give them a
question relates to what's public use and what's private use, Mr. Brady? Yeah.
All the parking lot has been leased to the Palmwood, and the majority of the area is to be used for the restaurant, so it sits within the domain of a public area. 7 of the parking spots have been identified as being specifically leased, and they would be leased to one each to the owners of the condominiums.
All right, so the lease basically is for public use still for their parking, for their patrons, and then the other 7 is exclusive for the tenants.
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you. Through you, Your Worship, to Mr. Kernahan. I wonder if you could just go back one more, maybe 2 more, I guess, to the rendering. About there. So just on the top picture, I guess, to my right, is there a house that's situated beside that area, a residential house beside that area?
Yes, there is, immediately to the east.
Okay, because there was an email that we all received today, and I don't know if anybody else has read it yet, but one of the concerns was a privacy issue and the relevant distance between both of those locations. I wonder, has that privacy issue been looked at by the town?
Yes, that, again, we're not making a recommendation on this tonight, but
no, right.
That was an issue that came up at the public information meeting held a couple of weeks ago as well. And one of the things that the town has the ability to do is control certain aspects of the building through site plan control, which will follow and be applicable to this building because it is a multi-residential building. So there are opportunities to restrict things like windows and require things like privacy screens to mitigate that privacy issue.
Okay, but there are some things then that we can put together and offer. Okay, thank you.
If I might, just to continue, if you look at the bottom picture, Councillor Butler, the bottom picture, the square block, I think is a representation of the house beside it. And you'll notice that the wall is blank on the building, so there are no windows that will go in that direction.
Councilor Butler? There are windows in the second and third floor. So the second floor currently exists. Third floor would be new. I guess that's a balcony. Is that your understanding, Mr. Kernahan?
Yes.
Third floor?
Chairs.
I'm sorry, Councilor Passero, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mayor DeKalb. Just on that same line of thought, looking at the site plan as it's currently proposed, there are some, it looks like a stairwell, something mechanically inclined, and an existing stair that encroaches fairly closely, if not over, the current property line. It's noted on the site plan that those will be removed. We will ensure that happens through site plan control. Is that our tool to ensure that happens going forward?
Yes, absolutely, and we are anticipating a demolition permit for the building in its entirety. So,
okay, so this would be a complete demolition and a rebuild. Okay,
correct.
So we don't really have to worry about what's going to stay and what's going to go. It's all going to go. Okay, thank you, Mayor.
And Councilor Zanker, did you have your hand up? Okay, then we're back. I guess we're down to me. Just a couple of questions. The report that we're going to be looking at later on made reference to the residents in the area having some concerns about parking. What were those concerns and what's the resolution?
There were a number of residents in attendance at the meeting who were concerned with a removal of on-street parking in the past in front of their residences. My understanding is that was done as part of a project to rehabilitate Terrace Lane a number of years ago. So that parking was removed prior to this proposal at hand.
That's parking on the north side of Terrace Lane?
Yes, correct.
All right, so that has nothing to do with this particular development?
Correct.
Okay. The other question that I had, with respect to this five stories, which is higher than any building in the vicinity, is this going to set a precedent of any sort?
The request is for a site-specific amendment to the zoning bylaw. We look at the merits of this proposal based on the proposal and its location. In the same way, if there is any other proposal in the future for higher than standard buildings, we would look at that proposal based on its merits at that location. So I wouldn't say this sets a precedent, no.
Are there currently any height restrictions with respect to construction in Crystal Beach that you're aware of?
Well, there's zoning regulations. The zoning regulations for the core mixed use 2 zone, which would apply to this property, would ordinarily be 3 stories. The core mixed use zone is a mix of commercial and residential uses. It's typical of Erie Road. There are other height restrictions on single detached dwellings that range from 1.5 stories to 2.5 stories, depending on if it's R2B or R2, but nothing more specific than the zoning regulations.
So just to clarify, if anyone wishes to construct a building greater than 3 stories high on a commercially zoned property in the core area, zoning amendment.
They would need a zoning bylaw amendment. That's correct.
Once we approve one, isn't that easier to approve 2, to approve 3, to approve 4?
My view is that every zoning bylaw amendment is taken on its own merits.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions arising out of that? Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. Does the proponent wish to address council with respect to the application? Good evening, sir. To Michael Allen.
So good evening, Your Worship, and members of council. I am Michael Allen of ACK Architects, here presenting on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Coutu. So as the staff have reported, our proposal before you this evening is to rezone the property to accommodate a main floor restaurant, which has already been existing, and to accommodate 7 condominium units. The existing property, although zoned hazard, and the uses that are defined by your current bylaw for hazard uses, certainly do not reflect the uses that have been ongoing on this property for decades. It's been operating in a restaurant as a bar for several years, as well as 11 residential units. So what has been operating is certainly more in line with the keeping of the core mixed use designation. Restaurant as it is today has a liquor license for 601 occupants. The main floor has 196 seats, 114 seats on the patio, and 291 in the lower level. Certainly not what we're proposing for our development. I've just outlined in my presentation for you some of the uses that are defined by the hazard uses. So again, it certainly doesn't reflect what's been ongoing in the area in the past, as in moving forward in the future for sustaining the urban area. As I'm going through my presentation, I'd like you to take into consideration a couple things. The subject land is within, by definition, the urban area and the built-up area as defined by the Niagara region's official plan policies. As well, the property defined by the town's official plan, as Mr. Kernahan noted, is within the environmental protection as well as commercial. The environmental protection, which is defined by the shoreline protection, I can assure you within our proposal and moving forward, will not be touched and will be preserved and, in our opinion, will be enhanced. The commercial area under the official plan is also defined by the existing restaurant. So as noted, our proposal will first and foremost, it will preserve the shoreline protection. And by that, if you don't mind, I'll be pointing up there. With the existing palm wood, there's an existing concrete wall barrier in place. We will be maintaining that. And part of initial comment or question with Mr. Kernahan is we will then be demolishing the building beyond that, preserving the concrete wall as well as preserving the existing shoreline protection. So as you can see by our proposed site plan, the hatched-in area, or the brown area, that is the proposed restaurant. We're certainly reducing the existing footprint of the palmwood, which as you can see in the dotted area. Our proposal is to create a bit of a drive-through or a drive under the building to create a drop-off. So for the patrons and for the people that are going to be utilizing the condominium unit, so they have access directly into the building. We will be maintaining a patio along the south side of the property, integrating some parking off along Terrace Lane, so again, it's parking in underneath the building. The only parking we're proposing to remove is the parking that is directly to the south of the building, and what we are proposing to do is integrate a bit of a landscaped area, a bit of a common parkette area that will be available to the public as well as to the occupants of the property there. So as was noted, the core mixed use, urban use, permits buildings up to 3 stories, up to 12 meters. Our proposal is for 5 stories, a total of 18 meters in height. This allows us to develop the floor plates to accommodate the 7 condominium units above the restaurant proposal. What it allows us to do as well, it allows us to step the building. So it's not just one big block building, even if it was 3 stories or 4 stories. It allows us to terrace the building in, creating terraces along the building, as well as to minimize the impact of the building on the property. As you can see from our illustrations, we certainly are proposing to the building to be more contemporary in nature. I would like to emphasize the fact that this is at the rezoning stage. As we get into the site plan agreement and the design development, the elevations will be developed in more detail. But the proposal is illustrated to be more contemporary for a couple reasons. One, it certainly allows us to integrate more expansive glass into the design. It allows the building in nature to be softer in appearance, lighter, as opposed to just a solid mass. And it certainly is, in our opinion, that creating a contemporary architecture is actually complementing the heritage of that the area. And by that I mean we're complementing it simply by not mimicking it. How we plan on complementing the existing buildings and the community around it is through color and through material. So again, in this illustration, there was a comment by the one counselor with respect to the privacy and so forth of the adjacent building. We created this illustration to show you that the wall in which the house will be adjacent will be a mass wall. We will be taking into account the privacies not only for the building but for the residents around it. But that will be getting into much more detail as we move forward with site plan agreement. What I wanted to illustrate in these ones is the shadow study on the property. I've showed you existing as well as proposed. And what it's going to illustrate to you is the proposed shadow study does not impact the neighbors any more than what is already impacted by the existing two-story. So as you can see down below with the existing shadow study, this is in March. So, and I've done it through the various times of the day of 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 2 p.m. So as you can see from the morning shadows there versus the morning shadow of the proposed building, it does not impact the existing residences along there. Then going in at 10 a.m., it does impact to the north along the street, no more than what we're proposing there. And then as the sun works its way around the building, primarily what's very important to take into consideration is the neighbor directly to the east is already in shadow from the existing building. Yes, our shadow will be casting more over it, but no more than what the existing building is already conducting. So I've broken it through in just the various times. So this is in June, the summer seasons, where it's definitely people are out and enjoying it. So again, the shadows is more along the street area in the morning. It's not impacting any of the neighbors around it. See along here, it's still along the street. 10 o'clock, again, it's just in the street area. High noon, very little impact at all. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the building's in shadow there. Not much more from what we're proposing. Number illustrates the same. And December obviously is the worst time of the year for shadows. As you can see from what's already existing, the whole street is already cast in shadow. No different from with the five-story building along there. Some residents have sent in comments and concerns. They're certainly taken into consideration, and we definitely want to make sure we work with the neighbors to make sure that this is a good fit for everybody. But there have been comments with respect to blocking views and vistas with it. As you can see from some of the existing photographs that were shown with Mr. Kernahan's presentation, as well as our very first one, is the properties along Terrace Lane in the back, even further to the north, the views are no more impacted than what is already impacted with the existing two-story. Yes, you're looking at a five-story building, but the views are not impacted. So in closing, our proposed development, we believe, fits in the area based on the province's smart growth policies, their initiatives, utilizing existing services, existing infrastructure, not be impacting the environmental area as defined by the official plan by the town. As noted, we will be preserving the shoreline protection and enhancing it with the landscape proposal with the parkette. I believe we've illustrated that our proposed development will not impact the surrounding properties any further than to what is already impacted by the existing Palmwood. In fact, our development, other than the height that we're asking for, is a de-intensification of this site as it is today. All of what we're asking for, we believe, is defined under the official plan policies of the region. So thank you for your time, your consideration, and we'd certainly be open for any questions and comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen. Do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redick. Mr. Allen, can you just go back to your, you showed a proposed enhancement in front of the wall, the concrete wall that you're going to save. That right here. When we looked at Mr. Kernahan's slides, he showed a picture there of the parking lot that's being leased. So you're going to enhance town-owned land? Is that the deal?
That's what we're proposing.
And it will still be town-owned land, but you'll just be holding the lease on it?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCopp. Thank you for your delegation in support of your application. You consistently said throughout your presentation that it will not impact the view. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. When you say not impact the view, it's the view of the lake.
Correct.
Okay. Because it will impact the view, right? Depends what somebody's looking at. Two stories versus five stories, obviously, you know, horizon, skyline, what have you, will be impacted. So for the purpose of your presentation and going forward, when you say impacting the view, it's the view of the lake.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. But yes, so ultimately the view is going to change from what you're looking at. But when we looked at the design and with the consideration of the neighbors around it, we wanted to make sure that the views to the lake were no different or not impacted from what they currently have.
Okay. I just appreciate that for the purpose of going forward when we mention that or reference that, we all know what we're talking about.
Thank you for
okay.
clarifying.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Ritka.
Any other councillors? Mr. Allen, just to follow up on that, can you go back to the shadowing slides? That March?
That's March.
Right. So you did say that there's very little change in the shadowing, but it looks like the proposed shadow study does have greater shadowing, particularly if there's a house on the corner of Terrace Lane and Lake. That would be in the shadow in the morning. It's not currently.
So if you look at the illustration, and this is with the proposal up top, so the house that's right at the corner sits back property along there. So the property itself will have some shadow right at 8 o'clock in the morning. As you can see, it's not impacted directly at 8 o'clock. But then at 10 o'clock, there is no shadow directly on the property. It's strictly at the street. And it's the same along there. So there's no immediate shadow on the house itself. So within an hour to an hour and a half, the guard area of that property there is back to its sunlight.
There will be impacts. There's a development that's going to change the neighborhood. It's going to be five stories high instead of three. There's going to be impacts.
There's going to be impacts.
The other question that I had with respect to the landscaping, the conceptuals show a few trees, then there's this one that shows a bunch of trees, and a couple of them look like they'd be large trees. Is it really intended to put large trees in front of a building that has a view of the lake?
It's your worship, it's conceptual, and ultimately when we get into the site plan agreement, we'll be retaining a landscape architect, so no, it's not our intent to put trees there that are going to block vistas out through with it. It's something that has to be designed. It's just an illustration to give the impact that it's going to be a landscaped parquet.
I only raise it because it's helpful for us if we have a clearer understanding of what it is that's going to be there. We have to make the decisions. So I'd hate to make the decision on the basis there's going to be a large oak tree out in front of this building and it's going to be nice and shade, when really it's only going to be a 4-foot-high service barrier, 6-foot-high service barrier. You understand what I'm saying?
Certainly appreciate your comment on that. But that's also something when working with staff,
right,
being city land, which we would be developing as part of ours, we ultimately would have to work very closely with staff and council on what is there.
Right. So going forward, I hope that you bear that in mind so that we at least have a clear understanding of what we're being asked to approve.
Certainly.
It's a very attractive building, I must say. Thank you. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Passero has a follow-up.
I apologize, Mayor Redekamp.
No, not at all.
Just on your question, just so we're clear then going forward, so when you say that there's no impact from the sunshade study, then it's on the property itself, there may be an impact, but not necessarily on the house.
Correct.
Okay. You can tell by my complexion, I'm someone who often goes into the front yard to tan. So just so we're clear, I mean, that is an impact, right? Would you agree? It is an impact.
It is.
If you have a swimming pool in the backyard or a gazebo in the front yard, and people create their life around what they do front and back. So,
absolutely.
Okay, just so we're clear going forward, we're on the same page.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen.
Thank you for your time.
Please stick around because there may be some questions that will arise that you may be able to respond to. I'll now ask if there's anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the application other than the proponent. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Please come forward. I'll start with the lady with the blue, then I'm going to go to the lady with the pink, and then I'm going to go to the gentleman with the red. Hi, and could you provide us with your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, I have the two properties, 3817 and 3819 Terrace Lane. 3819 Terrace Lane is currently in my deceased husband's name. He was the gentleman that died 300 feet from our home last July in the lake.
Sorry to hear that. Could we have your name, though, ma'am?
It's Patricia Mason, M-A-S-O-N, L-E-V-A-S-S-E-U-R, Levasseur.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I think I'm probably the one that, or one of at least a couple that is the most impacted. And I just wanted to go, I'll just do a couple things in general. I did send an email today and I thank you for looking at it. But I also have some issues with what's being discussed on where this building is. When I moved to Crystal Beach with my husband, it was in December of 2010. We came in at the bottom of the market when it was very, very difficult to even get a mortgage, if you might remember, back then. And we moved from Niagara on the Lake. And we, especially my husband, just fell in love with the area. We've had no problems living next to the Palmwood. You know, everybody's, you know, you put up with some things that are, you know, you wouldn't want. But it's been a great place. I'm one of the few people that lives there 365 days a year. As you can tell, I got partially paralyzed in 2014. My husband had actually just sold his business to on the Monday, 4 days before he drowned in Lake Erie, so that he could help take care of me because my paralysis will continue to get worse. So I'm now, I currently own 3817 Terrace Lane that was for sale as of October. It has been sold, but it's not closed yet. In addition, I live now in 3819. And I think one of the questions that was up there was, when we moved to Crystal Beach, I didn't move to live in a house that was right next to, you know, a concrete block building. I moved because I am on the lake. And, you know, I have a place to be outside. We're now talking about adding more windows. And I already have my little, another widow that I'm friends with. They came down from the States and they had their little kids in my hot tub. And they said, oh, look at all the old ladies are waving us at the Palmwood. And they had a great time. But now we're talking another two stories up. And if one of the questions we could go to is the part where you show the wall. You're saying, well, it's going to be, it's not going to impact my homes. Can you just? Thank you. I appreciate that. I noticed there were no pictures in the town's view of everything of how close the property is to mine. I literally, if I take the screen out currently right now out of my kitchen window, I can touch, I think it must be some kind of vent. I can literally reach it from my window. That is how close, if you're talking about it's going to be a total takedown of this giant building. I am only, like, technically I must be 4 feet, but there are Pete's parts right now that are hanging out and encroaching, I think is the word, onto my property. Because I can't even have an entrance up the side because there's not enough room there between the two houses. But what I wanted to go here is, Yes, there. That's not actually, okay, the one up top, sorry. So yes, what that's going to do according to that is if I am, I only have one window that there, well, one on the main floor, which is the kitchen that right now I can touch through and grab the venting. And then the one upstairs right now, that would be very similar, except, you know, it's still looking at concrete block. Now it'll look at white block. That's fine. But I think what no one is understanding is there's pictures I included that are from my bedroom. That gets worse, not better with this. Because if you imagine my bedroom is up on the top corner there, that I'm now looking, you know, before I had the one guy that when he coughs, I can hear him in my bedroom. And now I'm going to have people with decks or patios or whatever you want to call them, three, it looks like three stories of that up. And, you know, again, I'm only 4 feet, if not. And then on top of that, you also have the issue you talked about shadowing. It's definitely going to make a difference to my backyard. I didn't buy the house because it's next to the Palmwood. I bought the house because it's on Lake Erie. I bought it to live in my backyard. And also 3817 Terrace Lane, which has been sold, their shadowing does change. Because I was out there the other day, and you can see it that I do have more shadowing on my side, and I knew that. But even 3817, which is the semi right next to it, I'm sure it's going to have more shadowing if you start going up, because it's all, right now it's what, is it three stories officially? Is that what they call it, or?
The current building?
Yeah.
We're told it's two stories.
So they're going to go three more up then.
I don't know what the current height is, but the eventual height will be 18 meters.
The other issue that I have beyond all of that is the next one would be the fact that a total takedown of this building, I don't know if anyone really realizes, that's a one-way street right in front of where the Palmwood is, which is already, you know, a bit of an issue, and other people will talk about parking issues that I'm already still chasing people out in the summer off my property, or people from the Palmwood park in there while they're moving in or doing things like that. Again, I'm one of the few people that does live there 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and I live there by myself. And so that is an issue. And then on top of that, you know, what you're dealing with is that, you know, I understand that, you know, businesses and the Palmwood is not a pretty looking building, to be honest. People are nice, you know, all those things. You know, if you were just saying, look, we're just going to, you know, take it down and fix, you know, basically or redo it or something as it is, I'd have a hard time from someone who's been in business and own my own business to complain about that. My issue is that this is being done to make more money. This is not going to improve Crystal Beach. You know, sorry, Charlie, it's just not going to. So this is being done so that somebody can make more money. I understand that. But to say that it does not impact the people like my neighbors behind me or myself or the people that are purchasing my house, unless they now back out because of all of this. And, you know, the other thing is I understand this is going to take quite a long time. Can you imagine if you were right next door to a giant building like this and someone was telling you is that it's going to be a total demolition? What about my windows? What about dust? What about my dogs? What about my disability? What about trying to get access to my own property? Because I can't get in now when they have trucks delivering food. They block the whole street. So I understand that people want to earn money, and I don't have an issue with that. My problem is, the other question I have is, my houses were for sale last fall after my husband died in July. Why did no one come, if they're interested in talking to the people and the people around them, nobody's approached me. Everyone's had my phone number. No one's called me. No one. I live right next door. You can wave it to me from the restaurant. You know, I'm as close as you get. And no one has done that. And so I don't feel like it's very welcoming to the community. And I think the people behind me feel, you know, the same. And I am not let's put it this way. I lost my husband in a tragic accident 9 months ago. Do you think I really want to be here having to fight this and now go ahead and start, I don't know, protests and all those types of things? I don't want to do that. But I just think that all this really is about money. This isn't to help the people. Like, we already have Mars Homes that is build that up. That is increasing the number of people that are coming out to that area already. And anytime this town has one of their great events at the waterfront park, you already can't get street parking. Where are people going to park? You know, and then when this is going on for 2 years, you know, the game plan has been for myself, just like my two immediate neighbors next to 3817, was to rent out during the summer months. It's, you know, I'm a 48-year-old widow now. I have to figure out how am I going to survive. How am I going to rent my house directly out? At right now, my next-door neighbor is getting $2,200 a week. I have a 1,500-square-foot house on the lake. Even if I got $1,700 a week, this is going to take over a year to do this project, from what I understand. You know, who's going to be, like, I'm not getting off. You know, no one's compensating our neighbors. What about my other neighbors that are trying to rent their places out? Like, that's what a lot of people do in Crystal Beach. And I think what it's going to do is it's going to impact individuals in ways that you don't, you know, that might not get thought about. And I'm just a little person that happens to own a 1,500-square-foot semis right next to the Palmwood. And I had no problem. I've never complained about the Palmwood, not once. But this is not the Palmwood. You know, Palmwood's been a part of the history, from what I've heard, for a long time around here. And this is just different. I understand that. And then my last issue is definitely is the demolition. Like, I'm concerned about the damage to my house. I'm concerned about noise, dust, and all those things, as well as my neighbors behind me. So I'll let them speak now. But I just wanted to definitely cover that, saying that there's nothing impacting my house. I'm sitting there looking out my bedroom window, and what am I looking at? Waving at the two people from the from their balconies, as well as the other, as the windows and things like that. So it definitely is going to impact. I have also spoke to my real estate agent, who sold 3817, and she has told me that my value will likely decrease at minimum until this is completed. And what happens if I need, this is all I own. What happens if I have to sell my house? Like, my question is, why didn't they, my question is, some of my neighbors probably have the same questions, why didn't they come and try to figure out how, if they had, I had my properties for sale, they could have bought those two properties when they were for sale and had more land, that we wouldn't have nearly as much of an issue as we're trying to cram something in. I think it comes down to money. Yeah. You know? So anyways, that's my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you. Don't go away. Mrs. Mason, Levisser, please come back.
Oh, sorry.
There may be members of council who have some questions. Are there any members of council who have any
Mason
questions?
Mason is fine.
Mason, thank you. No questions. I just wanted to clarify one of the comments that you made with respect to an encroachment. It's your understanding that a part of the adjacent building encroaches onto your property?
Yes.
And that is the venting?
They have pipe. I'm not sure what they are. They're vents, but I showed you a picture of my kitchen window, and you can see how close that is. If I took the screen out, I can actually touch it.
And of the photos that you forwarded to us, looks like there's a couple from an upstairs
bedroom. That's my
bedroom. And that bedroom then faces south?
No,
faces
it
the
faces
lake.
Out to the lake. So this is what I'm trying to
be south.
South. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm
so
not
that,
good at those. But yes, it's facing out. So it's not about the fact that, oh, there's no windows on the side of my building. That's not the issue. There's windows, and there's going to be a lot more windows with this proposal when I'm looking out my bedroom window.
Well, it looks like there will be windows. Looks like there'll be one more floor of a patio, a balcony.
But right now, all I'm looking at is one window, one single window right now.
Get the windows on the main floor.
No, the one up the for the rental units that they have.
Well,
yeah.
The photographs that you sent to us show that you can look into the dining area.
That's on the main floor, but there's
the
one upstairs.
Floor.
Yeah.
And there's one upstairs. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'll now go to the lady with the pink top, who will identify herself when she arrives. Good evening.
My name's Julie Waddell. I live at 3816 Terrace Lane. I'm across the street from Tricia. My issues aren't near as bad as hers, but I strongly oppose any tall buildings on the lake. And I just think we're just setting ourselves up to have a bigger battle down the road if we allow this to happen now. That's my main issue. Never mind the construction when I'm trying to have quiet enjoyment on my property. That's also going to be an issue. I live right across the street from the Palmwood. Right now I have a lovely view of their garbage. I'd like that to go. But when I was looking at the pictures today, I was interested now to see how many windows would be staring in my front porch. I can't really tell from the drawings. I really, you know, don't want to be looking at. It looks to be like at least 12 windows would be staring in. Not that people are going to be staring in your front window, but that's how it would feel. So my privacy is gone. So I don't know if somebody can show me the drawings and, like, show me how it would impact my property across the street.
Mr. Kernahan, maybe you could show us the north elevation of the building.
I only just saw the drawings today for the first time, and that's when I looked at all the windows. I went, oh, I don't like that. Okay, so all of those windows going to be directly looking into my front porch, where I spend a lot of time. When I'm outside, that's a different thing. You're outside. But when I'm inside my home and I'm trying to enjoy my front porch, my glassed-in front porch, and I've got all these windows up there, I don't like that at all. And that's it.
Thank you. And how do you spell your last name?
W-A-D-D-E-L-L.
Thank you. Do any members of council have any questions of Ms. Waddell? Thank you very much.
Okay.
And now we'll go to the gentleman with the red top. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Mike Egan. I live on Crystal Beach Drive.
What's the address on
Crystal Beach? 3763. It's a 4-minute, 3 or 4 minutes walk from the Palmwood.
Please proceed.
Okay. As I said, I lived on Crystal Beach Drive, and it's a simple Crystal Beach-type neighborhood, which you see all over Crystal Beach, but it's very desirable. That's what seeing people like. If you saw all the people who come down our road, bicycles, women with strollers, runners, people walking dogs, and why do they do it? Because of the nature of Crystal Beach. They love the water. They love the character of the neighborhood. And there was even a couple walking down the beach last week who came from South Africa and Brazil. They said, this is so nice here. All these houses are maybe redone a little bit, but they've maintained the same character. They like the neighborhood. And they're from Brazil. Now, the short version of my talk is this. Would you like to live next door to a 5-story building that has 0 meters clearance on all sides except for one, and no landscape, no nothing, just a big hunk of building straight up in the air? I'll bet every one of you would say no. You wouldn't want to have it in your neighborhood or next to your house. I wouldn't either. I think it's terrible. I don't see anybody even defend it. I hate to be the architect. He's probably a good person, but he's doing his job. So that was the short version. So let's go a step farther. The next door neighbor's house, as she said, is 4 feet away. We saw the dumpsters, should have seen them anyhow in the pictures. They don't have any room to put garbage. And I don't see where the new people are going to have room to put either, because they have 0 clearance to the lot line. They may be hiding it somewhere, but that remains to be seen. In the wintertime, because Terrace Lane is so small and narrow, there wouldn't even be room to plow snow. Those dumpsters right now are an inch away from the road. They're garbage. The garbage guys in the garbage truck can just pick up where it is and throw it right in, but there's no clearance. We saw that in the pictures. It's terrible. So I'm not being critical of the present owners or the previous owners, but it's just lack of space. It's just not a good place for a big building. Now, if we were to add 5 stories, make it 5 stories, 7 condominiums, and likely 14 more car spaces. They're only allowing 7, but anybody who lives in an expensive condo is going to have more than one car. And they're taking away parking from the front there and putting in landscaping on town property. You know, it just sounds just too far out. It's crazy. Now, that's just the beginning of a bad story. Many years ago, we had to get a minor variance to put a garage on our property, and we're on Crystal Beach Drive. So right now it's 35 feet from the road, but we still had to get a minor variance. Here they want to put a building smack right up against the road, a skinny road at that, which is a driveway. If somebody wanted to build standard detached garage on their property, it has to be less than 14 feet high. So don't ask for 15 feet or 16 feet because the zoning won't allow it. But how would you like then they put a five-story building up and say, well, we can't put our little garage up, but they can put this giant building up on their property. It just ruins the whole neighborhood. About 3 years ago, when they had the big Bay Beach crisis, I'll call it crisis, they wanted to build a condominium down there. At that very same time, somebody had a proposal to put around a five or seven-story condominium down on the waterfront area where the coal docks are, and the town council voted it down because it didn't fit the character of the neighborhood. Now, there's a lot of space down there, and probably not much to compete with, but they said it didn't fit the character. This place...
Mr. Egan, I don't think that's accurate. Well, I don't believe... The town did at one point receive an application for some type of building at the coal docks. I don't know that it ever got to the process where it was approved or disapproved.
But it was disapproved, I can tell you that.
At the coal docks.
Yeah.
Well,
I did bring that up another time when we were doing the condo thing.
You may be talking about Waverly Beach.
No.
There was a condo at Waverly Beach.
We'll
follow that up.
Okay. But anyhow, in any case, somebody would have voted it down because it didn't fit the character of the neighborhood. And really, this place doesn't either. This lady who lives next door, would have to say, is very kind. If I was her, I'd probably be shooting with both barrels because it's too far out. But anyhow, the zoning is site-specific, so the person from town said any other place, they'd have to base it on the appropriateness on individual case. But you know what? Every place they put up sets a precedent. So we can't just say this isn't going to set a precedent. It positively will set a precedent. We could look at some of the higher density places in Fort Erie that actually are pretty appropriate, like Ridgeway by the Lake and Mars Homes. They have townhouses there, but they look just like the regular places. It fits right in, and nobody would even know it was a townhouse except that there's more doors and more garages there, but it fits right in. It's really nice. You could also look at the big building down in Fort Erie across from the old Zellers Mall. It's got tons of green space, trees, parking, walkways all around it. It fits right in. It's a good fit. Nobody could object to that. So, and even the seniors home on Far Road has a lot of units in it, but it's really an attractive place. If it's in, this place does not look like Crystal Beach Drive or Terrace Lane. We could go to economics. This has to do with higher density housing. Probably know you do that. If you can put more units on a small property, the builder's going to make a lot more money. The person who sells it knows he can ask for more money. And really does in the end, it raises the cost of living, housing, not just for that individual place, but all around. It's just the natural thing. I hear people swim at the Y all the time. I hear people saying, yeah, my son's looked for a place, but he had his anxiety he's going to have to look down in Port Colborne or Welland because it's getting too expensive in Fort Erie. This kind of higher density housing, in the end, raises the cost for everybody. And that's not going to be good for your kids, for your families. It won't even be good for you if you want to buy a place. In the last year or so, housing prices have skyrocketed. It's almost, I think the growth is too fast. So, you as a council and our representatives have an opportunity and I would say a responsibility to consider this thing tonight and say what is best for the citizens or residents, let's say, of Fort Erie. not for a money grab thing for somebody who'd make a lot of money, because remember, it's going to set a precedent. More people are going to do the same thing. People want to make money and sell property or houses. There's tons of space in Fort Erie to do it. It doesn't have to be right there. So that's about it for me. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Egan. Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Egan? Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Yeah, Mr. Poole, I'm just looking to see if there's anybody that lives in the neighborhood, but if not, Mr. Poole, please come forward. Oh, sorry. Gentleman with the, please come forward, sir, I didn't see your hand. We have your name and address, please.
My name is Mark Latham. I live at 3833 Crystal Beach Drive. Got a question for the architect. Said he's going to put 7 parking spaces aside.
Well, I think the town indicated that there will be 7 dedicated spaces in the public parking area.
Right. What is the allotment of the parking space now? How many parking spaces are in that?
I'm going to ask Mr. Brady to respond to that, if you know, sir.
Within the overall area which is being leased from the town, there are currently, I believe it's 40 parking spaces.
That little circle, there's 40 parking spaces?
In the total area that's being leased from the town, there are 40 parking spaces.
Which sections are being leased from the town?
When you come in the driveway at the Palmwood, all of that area in front of you, all down to the lake, all of that's being leased. It's been leased historically to the Palmwood, has been for over 20 years.
Architect, when you put your greenscape in, how much of that parking?
Okay, well, sir, you're actually addressing council.
I'm sorry. I'd like to know how many parking spaces would be eliminated.
Yeah, we can ask the architect that.
By the looks of it, on his drawing, you're looking at almost a quarter of that gone.
I wonder if Mr. Brady, if you know the answer to what will be left if this landscape plan were to proceed.
I can give you an estimate. There's about 4 or 5 spaces that will be removed from in front that will go to green space. We're going to take a look at the configuration of the parking lot in its totality as a part of the site plan process. So there may be other ways to gain back parking spaces. But I can also let council know, and the gentleman who's speaking, that the requirements for parking actually are reduced on this site because the number of units is being reduced and the restaurant itself is being reduced in size. So the Palmwood itself currently needs more parking spaces than the new development would actually require.
What are the parking spaces requirement per table in a restaurant right now?
Mr. Brady, do you know that?
I'm not sure. Kira, do you have that off, or Matt?
1 per 4 patrons.
How many tables, how many seats is this dining room?
So you have to speak up, sir, because...
That's 25 parking spaces.
That's correct.
7 for the residents, possibly 14 for the residents.
No, seven.
Seven, but putting 7 units and no one has 1 car.
Well, that's, as I understand it, the requirement, 1 parking space.
That's the requirement for the town.
What is the amount of handicap parking required for a building that size?
Mr. Brady, is there...
I believe there's probably 2 required, but that those are counted for within the ones that are within the table. They don't add any addition. What they do is they require the dimensions of the parking lot, parking spaces to be different.
I'm asking this is, during the weekend concerts in the park, absolutely no parking down in the Crystal Beach area. People having cars parked across their driveways, in their front yards, like this lady, parked in front of her house on her lawn, parking spaces, and designating parking spacing specific for residents, is this not going to put an impact on the residential parking?
The demand for the new building will be less than the demand for the existing building, so that this new building will actually require less parking spaces, or if you will be I think it's four spaces that will be different. The other thing that you may or may not be aware of, the town last year authorized and we hired an additional parking attendant, and that parking attendant has worked a number of events. One of the areas that was pointed out to us was that this area of Crystal Beach during these times needs to be a little bit more enforced. We've again hired a parking person for the summer, and I will certainly put it on her list to when these events occur to be in that area to deal with those kinds of issues.
Last and final question.
Sure.
During construction has been also stated a road leading Ridgeway Road going over the hill is one way. Coming back out is one way. What is going to be the detour, and how are you going to get traffic around there, especially during peak summer season when the boat?
We can get that clarified by staff, Mr. Latham, because that's a good question. So what will the traffic flow be when construction is underway?
Where are the cars going to be diverted to?
One of the things that we will look at in terms of the construction of this building is to try to avoid the summer months in terms of any heavy equipment coming in and out. It's the heavy equipment that can create the issues. It's not the the electricians, if you will, that come in or that afterwards. So in terms of the heavy equipment, we'll...
Okay, so Mr. Brady, we're gonna get that information. The way this works, Mr. Latham, we've heard a number of comments from you and from the other speakers. There will be some questions that council members will have of staff. The report that we're getting right now is for information purposes. So the public meeting is an opportunity for people to tell council what their concerns are, what their views are, and what we should be looking for as we deliberate on this particular application. The next report that we receive will be a report from staff that will address the various issues that have been raised here, and any questions that have been raised by members of council. And then at that point, we will be determining whether or not we're going to approve this, not approve it, modify it, what have you. So your questions with respect to the traffic flows on the roads during construction, and I would say demolition, is important. There's been a question raised by Ms. Mason with respect to how the construction and demolition will actually take place and not affect her property. There's a few other questions that I've made note of that I'll be asking staff about.
I have one other question.
Sure.
During construction and demolition, knowing the area as well as I do, roads have a tendency of shifting. After construction and demolition, will these roads be repaired?
Shifting because of the heavy equipment and vehicles? That usually is part of the arrangement that we enter into with a developer. But I've made a note of that as well. Do you have any other questions, sir?
Not at all.
Before you go, are there any members of council that have any questions of Mr. Latham? Councilor Passero?
Not a question for Mr. Latham, but I'm thinking this might be my best opportunity to suggest this. But can you just either yourself, your worship, or staff just tell who's ever listening or here tonight that this is not the end of the consultation process with the public? If they think of something after they leave tonight, they're welcome to write or email or call staff, and that will also be included in the recommendation report that comes back to us as council.
Right. And so Councilor Passero has indicated that this is still an ongoing process. Even when we get the final report after staff has dealt with the various issues that have arisen, that report is published on our website, and that will be available for comment by members of the public. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That takes us then to, unless there's anyone else, Mr. Poole.
Good evening, sir. Council. 3811 Webstock Road, Jim Poole. I'm not opposed to this. I've just got a couple of questions. First question I have is, does anybody know how many square feet these condos are? Are we talking?
We can. I'm sure that the architect has some information on that.
A rough idea. Are they going to be 800 square feet, 1,200 square feet?
We'll get that information afterwards. So the size of the units.
And the price?
Approximate price?
Yeah, the price range. And the other question going to the parking is that, so I know they said there are going to be 7 parking spots, so it's actually like they'll have them like 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't just park anywhere. They have a designated parking spot, right?
I believe they're dedicated specific spots. Is that correct, Mr. Brady? Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. And the other comment I had is that they said it doesn't kind of affect anybody's view. Well, how about the people that live up on the hill? You know, how they have the houses high up on the hill up there? On the west side, I would think that, I don't know, 5-story affects them or not. I know maybe not the shadow, but maybe they can see Buffalo now. Maybe they won't be able to see Buffalo. They can see across the lake. That should be looked into. I'm not sure how high this is going to be. And the last thing, comment I have is that the zero setback, like on the road or on the parking lot, I have no problem with that. But when you're going zero setback beside a neighbor at a residential area, we shouldn't be zero, at least a half a meter or something. There's no way. I don't care, even my property. I couldn't stand if I had a cement wall 100% right beside my residential property. It doesn't make sense. If we, on the road, it doesn't make a difference. The parking lot doesn't make a difference. But when it's beside residential, it should be at least a half a meter or something, or 6 inches or something. It should not be zero. There's no such thing as zero next to a residential property. That's my comment on this. Thank you.
Okay, before you go, Mr. Poole, are there any questions by members of council? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to council with respect to this application? If not, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. The report for information purposes for council is on our agenda, and it will be coming up shortly for those of you who might wish to remain to hear any discussion by members of council. So that takes us then to what would have been a consent agenda had we had more than one report, but since we only have one report, I'm going to ask for a mover with respect to report PDS 32-2017. That's Councillor Butler, and that relates to the statistical reporting for the first quarter of 2017. Do any members of council have any questions with respect to that report? If not, I'll call the question. All those in favor of the report? None opposed. That is carried. And that takes me then to Planning and Development Services, and I'll hand the chair to Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Services is now open. There are no presentations or delegations, so we'll move to report number PDS-33-2017. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott, thank you. That report is now on the floor for a proposed zoning bylaw amendment, 3823 Terrace Lane, Michael Allen Architect, Agent, 1322977 Ontario Inc. Thank you. Stephen and Nada Sustic. I apologize for the mispronunciation. Peter Kutu. Do any members of council have any questions or comments? Councillor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I guess would be for the architect or maybe Mr. Kernahan. There was some talk about the parking and the parking issue and lots of people being around. Looking at what I'm seeing here and knowing the Palmwood very well, as I basically grew up in the Palmwood, not in it. The lower floor, the restaurant, from what I'm gathering, it sounds to me like you're not going to be proposing a nightclub. It's going to be strictly restaurant.
Why don't we get Mr. Kernahan up? And then if he needs the architect, you can call on him.
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Lubritz, the proposal is for a restaurant, not a nightclub.
So is the restaurant going to be smaller than it is now?
Through you again, Madam Chair. The proposal is for a seating capacity of 150.
Yeah.
Currently, the restaurant has a capacity of 196 on the main floor, and there's also an additional capacity assigned to the basement, which isn't used.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason I'm asking these questions is just I'm trying to ease everybody's mind about the parking. It looks to me, and I agree with Mr. Brady, that the parking issue is going to be diminished when it comes to a problem. And I know myself, being around the Palmwood for years, it was the nightclub activity that gave most of the problem when it came to parking. They had their fish fries on Friday nights, and I know that there were some problems with parking then when if it got full, but now we're reducing it to by 50 or so seats. So I'm assuming that, you know, it will diminish a little bit. That's the only reason I ask those questions. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other members of council? Your Worship.
Yes, and maybe Mr. Kernahan can help with this, Madam Chair. So there was a reference to an encroachment, and I'm looking at the site plan, and it appears, could be wrong, that the new building is actually going to be right on the lot line.
Through you, Madam Chair, to your worship, there's a proposal for a 1.5-meter setback from the east property line.
So that if there is currently an encroachment, Madam Chair, that would be eliminated?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Thank you. There was also an issue raised about what I would call mitigation measures regarding construction and demolition. I wonder what they might be, Madam Chair.
Through you, Madam Chair, one of the things that site plan control gives us the ability to do is to control when and how construction occurs. So it's possible that we could require through an agreement that construction occur during a certain time of the year and not others. We would deal with things like detours and traffic plans through that process as well. Hoarding around the site to dust and noise impacts as that's necessary, but that's something primarily that our engineers would look at through the site plan control process.
And if I might, Madam Chair, so I know that this is private business constructing this, but the municipality is the approving authority. Do we require any type of bonding or insurance with respect to potential damage that might arise during construction or demolition?
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair, we have the ability to do that, yes.
Madam Chair, will we do that?
We will.
Okay. So the other concern that Ms. Mason raised had to do with the actual mechanics of how this existing building is going to be demolished. I wonder if we have any insights into that.
Mr. Kernahan?
Madam Chair, I do not personally have any insight into that. That would be something that would be dealt with by the architect through a demolition permit. Perhaps he could...
Could we have the architect come to the podium, please?
Madam Chair, Your Worship, members of the committee. Obviously, when you get into a project of this nature where you've got properties that are directly around it, the first thing we have to do is do pre and post surveys of the adjacent properties. So that would be the neighbor to the east as well as the city lands around it. When you get into the demolition aspect of this, it's one of those ones where you have to work almost from the inside out. So from the construction standpoint, a demolition standpoint, part of the parking to the west would obviously have to be hoarded off so that we could demolish it outwards and then remove it. The construction would have to take pretty much the same method of building it inwards and up. So with that, and I know there were some questions on timing, logistics, and things of that nature of how you would construct something of this nature. But ultimately, a building of this size, whether it's a mid-rise or a high-rise building, you have to get the superstructure up first. And so ultimately the foundation, the basement, and then we start building this shell up. As to how we're going to build this building at this point, it's going to be concrete, some steel. But once the structure is up, the mandate is to get it up and get it enclosed. That you can probably do within 6 to 8 months. Once the building's enclosed, the heavy construction is done. Then everything's on the interior. You're working with your electricians, your plumbers, your drywallers, so that all of that is on the inside. Very minimal noise to the surrounding area and the logistics of how you work around the site.
Thank you. Your Worship?
Yes, and so if I might, since Mr. Allen's at the podium, Madam Chair, What's the arrangement or with respect to garbage from the building, the tenants, and the restaurant?
So, Madam Chair, the proposal is, pointer here, as you can see in the back area, we've got this little back component of the building there. That actually is proposed to be an enclosed garbage room inside the building. So there will not be garbage or garbage bins out and around the building. It will all be internal, as well as kind of jumping here a little bit, but there was comments about the parking. So yes, we were losing the four parking spaces to the front, but I'm adding four parking spaces that don't exist currently on the property. So one of those spaces ultimately is there, so you have access and you have the garbage truck can pull in there, pick up the garbage, and then take off.
Thank you, Your Worship.
I think so. This is something that the staff can respond to, and that has to do with, and they don't have to do it this evening, how they would manage the traffic, because it is one street in over Millington Skyway down onto Terrace Lane and then out Lake or Crystal Beach Drive. So I'd be interested to see staff's recommendation on that. Thank you very much, Mr. Allen.
Thank you,
Mr. Allen. Do you want to just stand there for a moment, just in case any of the other councillors have any questions or comments?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I don't know if you'll address this or Mr. Kernahan, but just from my experience with heavy construction like this here, there are some conditions, and I think the mayor kind of alluded to it a little bit about doing site visits on the homes surrounding the building, and then do an inventory of how the condition of the house itself and the structures nearby, so that if there is any damage to the adjacent property owner's buildings during construction, then they will be repaired by the developer after construction is completed. And is that the plan here with the considering the fact that the one lady is basically a meter away from the building?
Hear you, Madam Chair. So in the short version, yes. I can tell you in other projects we've done of this magnitude, we've done dynamite literally 4 feet away from adjacent houses. So what ends up happening is the demolition company that is retained to do this, they will be obligated to do their own pre-construction survey. We would do a pre-construction survey on behalf of the owner so that we make sure it's to satisfaction that we want. After the demolition is done, we would do a post-demolition. We would still want to carry on the surveying aspect of it so that during construction, it is also mitigated for any damage or so forth that may happen. So to sum that up, though, yes, any damage that would be caused to the adjacent neighbors by the construction, because it's not a perfect science and things do happen, that the developer would be responsible to make.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Appreciate it. Seeing that there are no further questions or comments, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor, that motion is carried unanimously. Moving on to...
Madam Chair, just a point of clarification for the audience. Can you just explain what all of us voting in favor means?
Yes. We are taking this information at this report as information purposes, and so there will be further investigation and further reports that will come to council to look at. Moving on to the next report, PDS-34-2017, application for draft plan of subdivision and combined official plan and zoning bylaw amendment, Fort Erie Hills Subdivision, 87 Crook Street, and 0 Thompson Road, Fort Erie Hills International Canada, Inc., Dan Lane. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Zanko? That report is now on the floor. Any questions or comments from the councillors? Your Worship?
Yeah, what's the limit? 10 minutes. I have a lot of questions about this, and I've spoken to Mr. Brady about some of them. Part of my concern is that this could either be a very fantastic development that could set a very great standard for future developments of this nature in other parts of the municipality, or it could be regrettable development. I'll leave it at that. I think a lot of it has to do, from my perspective, as to land holding and what happens with these various units. But I did notice, Madam Chair, that the initial report that we received talked about a total of 815 units, 53 of which were singles. Now it's down to 30 singles, 46 of which originally were semis. Now it's up to 64. And then I didn't tease out what the number of townhomes will be or what the configuration for the apartments is, but it's an extra 96 on this parcel, which is all well and good. I have a major misgiving about the provincial density targets. I'm very concerned about the province's direction for even more dense housing targets. I understand the need for a mix of housing in this municipality. There's no doubt about that. I understand the concept and the need for people to be able to age in place so that people that have historically lived in this community and want to stay here but no longer want to own a home would like smaller, more manageable accommodations, a townhouse or an apartment building, an apartment unit. I get that. I understand that. This is a plan which provides 30 single-family homes out of 909 units. That is, it's 3%. I think it's just a little over 3%, which is to me a big concern. And I say that because one of the speakers during the public meeting talked about the rising housing prices in Fort Erie. Part of that problem is we've got an influx of newcomers and we've got a growing supply of single family units, but obviously not enough to manage the market, so that people are now paying what I'm sure we all think are crazy prices for houses. I think it's only going to get worse. This does not address that particular problem. So I guess my first question to Mr. Brady would be, through you, Madam Chair, would be how does this municipality react to the provincial density targets?
Mr. Brady?
The majority of subdivisions that have been approved by this council are well below the density targets. The one that is in Ridgeway across from the old high school was below the density targets. And certainly the High Point, which is being developed across the street, that is well below the density targets. What we're trying to do, both through our secondary planning process and through finding locations where higher densities are desirable, we're trying to blend densities across the municipality to not reach the new targets that the province has set, because I agree with you, they're a little out there, but at least to try to reach the targets that have been set in the we'll call it past, which I think are reasonable targets. So we're trying to do it by finding areas which are desirable for higher densities, such as this, which is a very desirable location for this kind of density. And it's got this area, one of the things that this area has that many of our other ones don't have is this has a large amount of green space and open space. And that is one of the characteristics that I look to when we're looking for a higher density, an area where it has those kinds of open areas, which this area does because of the valley system that moves through it.
If I might, Madam Chair, what would the likely time frame be for build out of this type of development, this magnitude of development?
Mr. Brady.
That's very much dependent upon the market, but I would assume that the developer will build this in at least two phases. The first phase, the smaller of the two, and I wouldn't anticipate this to be developed out in its totality for probably something like 15 years.
And do we have any knowledge, Madam Chair, of whether or what number of these units will be freehold, what will be leasehold? I'm presuming the apartments could be either, but so could the townhouses or the semis.
Mr. Brady?
From the draft plan that's before you, I would assume that most of the town, the semis would be freehold, as would be the singles. The towns would be a combination thereof. The apartments will likely be all condominium. Whether they're rented out in a condominium form will depend upon the ownership and the demand in the marketplace. But very, very few developers want to build strictly rental apartment buildings because of the way the tax structure, the property tax structure is. It's much more beneficial to do it through a condominium.
And that, Madam Chair, just even furthers my discomfort with respect to these density targets. I mean, ideally, apartment buildings would be available for individuals who maybe can't afford a home to at least rent an apartment and perhaps a nice apartment. But if these are going to be condominium units, maybe that even the cost of renting those, if they were to be rented out, might not be affordable for people. I appreciate that the builder has, or the developer has been asked about a component of affordable housing. I think that's important. This whole development is of such a magnitude that it has, as I said, some aspects that I think are terribly exciting. Although the notion that you can live, work, and play in community of this nature really doesn't hold up. You can live there and you can play there, but people aren't going to be working there. There'll be very few people working there, and in terms of walking distances, some jobs perhaps downtown. If there's some development at the old Pharmacare building, maybe Barbican when they develop the building, maybe if there's some development to the west of Thompson Road, the railroad's gone. That was a big employer. You could have walked there if you were working, but otherwise you're not going to be walking too far. The other concern that I had is these kids aren't the kids that might live in this neighborhood aren't going to be walking to school. These kids will all be bused. And Mr. If I might to Mr. Brady, I'd asked about and read in the report that the public school board at least responded and said everything was fine. There's school that they can go to, Peacebridge Public, formerly known as General Vanier, and will be as long as I'm around. So they'll be bused to General Vanier. But my big concern is if there are going to be 2,200 potential people in this area alone, because that's what the build out would call for, they're not all going to be retirees. They're not all going to be seniors. They're going to be families. And if we do our job, and we've been working very diligently to try to bring jobs to this community, which means people who are of working age, which means people who may have children, my question to Mr. Brady is, where would a new school go to service the north end of Fort Erie?
Mr. Brady?
As a part of the draft plan process, we always circulate both boards of education. The public board, DSBN, does an analysis, and they have a planning staff and a complete analysis of it, and their analysis is reported in the report. They believe that their system has sufficient capacity. Apartments don't tend to create a lot of kids very often. The separate school board doesn't do any analysis on housing, which I don't quite understand, but they don't, not just in Fort Erie, but throughout their jurisdiction. And so therefore they rarely provide us any comments. And in this case, they've also not provided any comments.
So just to follow up on that, Madam Chair, is it possible for us to request again from the school boards that they give some further consideration, because now what we circulated originally was 815 units. Now it's 909. I don't know how any of the responding agencies could really give us a full, clear answer with that change in magnitude. But I wonder if we could ask the school boards to give this some further consideration, and maybe in a rather pointed nature, ask the separate school board to at least respond to our request for information insofar as they are collecting development charges in Fort Erie.
Mr. Brady, will you take that direction?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Do I still have time?
I believe so.
I'll give up the floor to other counselors after the last item that I, not the last item, but it's the other third important item that I wanted to raise, and that had to do with the traffic flows, and in particular the intersection at Phipps and Thompson, which is an accident waiting to happen. And if we have more traffic, if we have more traffic, and particularly if we have construction vehicles in that vicinity, it's going to make it even more treacherous. It's virtually impossible to see traffic. If you're on Thompson Road going north, it's virtually impossible to see traffic coming from the east on Phipps. If you make a left-hand turn, you have to be very agile. There are a lot of older people that live on the parkway. It's going to be more difficult for them. I noticed, Madam Chair, to Mr. Brady, I noticed that the traffic impact study wasn't very precise. We didn't get a copy of that. For some reason, we got 82 pages of regional sewer manual, didn't get a copy of the traffic impact study, which even the individual from Canadian National who was asked to comment said that there was a recommendation in the report that there should be further monitoring, but didn't suggest what the monitoring would be. I don't know that you need to do an awful lot more monitoring. If we're going to have growth and development in that area, there needs to be something done about that intersection. Any suggestions, Mr. Brady?
Brady?
The traffic report, there is a requirement that it that further work be done in monitoring and it be updated. But one of the things that you had spoken to me about earlier was the possibility of a roundabout at that location. We've taken a look at it from a very, very general perspective to see if it could fit. It could fit, but those are two regional roads, and if the town council wants to take a position on the configuration of those roads in the future, that would be something that could be done, and it could be sent to the region for their consideration.
So, Mr. Brady, if I might, Madam Chair, just to follow that up, there's not one person that I've mentioned a roundabout at that location that hasn't thought that that's an excellent idea and would make that a safer intersection. So how would we go about raising this with the region? Would we amend the recommendations in this report? Or what would your suggestion be, if I might, through you, Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Brady?
My suggestion would be that if this council wants to take a position on a roundabout being considered for this particular location, that they direct staff to send a letter to the region and ask them to have that consideration.
We don't need to amend this particular report?
I don't believe so.
All right. So, Madam Clerk, would we require a resolution for that? Maybe under...
Madam Clerk? I would suggest so, unless you had unanimous consent around the horseshoe. That would be the issue, is to get the consent, and I think that we would need to see some kind of diagram as to where you're specifically looking at, Your Worship, because I have some concerns with respect to Bowen Road. And
Bowen Road?
Bowen Road in the intersection of
that's Thompson. Exciting too.
Yeah, and so how would a roundabout then work?
Well, the roundabout would be on
because
the north
bridge,
side of the overpass.
Because there are some tremendous blind spots off of Bowen Road, and so when you're edging out, you're halfway into the intersection. So that's problematic in itself. I can't.
I do that every day, several times a week. So you're right. That's also very difficult. I mean, you could have You could make a stop sign at Thompson, at the Bowen Road intersection, so that traffic going north, or traffic going through, I suppose, could be. But maybe that's the resolution that we asked the region to look at improvements at both intersections. There's clearly the capability to do a roundabout on the north side of the railway tracks. On the south side, there may need to be some other solution, but perhaps that's what we need to do. And maybe, Madam Clerk, we should bring that up under business inquiries.
And I know that Councillor Passero has a question with respect to that, so we can wait until business inquiries then? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm just wondering. No, Councillor Passero can continue on, but in terms of dealing with it, if we're going to have a resolution, that's when we would do it.
Madam Clerk?
Through you, Madam Chair. Either or, you could deal with the motion that's currently on the floor in its current format and then put forward a motion related to that right afterward, or you could wait till new business.
Your Worship, how would you like to handle that?
Well, I feel fairly strongly about the traffic in this vicinity, and I'm thinking maybe we should developer involved in this as well. Maybe this should be an amendment to the resolutions that form part of this, or the recommendations in this report.
Okay. So would you be opposed to hold off on that until
nope,
we have other members of council talk about this report?
Not at all.
Thank you. Councillor Passero, you had some comments or questions?
It was just germane to the conversation regarding Bowen Thompson, so I'll wait until this comes up under new business.
Okay. Any other comments from councillors? Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to go back on the density of the proposal, I brought this up before, and I think it's important for council to know where we're at with density when it comes to our developments in town. According to the province, we're mandated to have a certain percentage of density in new subdivisions, but we can transfer that density from one subdivision to another. So if one has more, we can accommodate another subdivision that has less. But I think it's important that council knows where we're at when it comes to the percentage that we have in this town, whether we're below our mandated targets or if we're above our mandated targets. And I don't know if that has to be a motion or staff, but I would like to see what we have, where we're at.
Mr. Brady, can you speak to that?
Certainly. We can bring this forward, but I can tell you we're well below our mandated targets. And even with this going in place, we've talked about this before, and certainly we try, Councillor Lubers is quite right, we try to balance. We don't try to make every subdivision identical to one another. And there are certainly a number of subdivisions which are exclusively single families, and there's some that have a little bit of townhouses in them, and there are some that are all townhouses. We have very, very few subdivisions that have apartments in them. In fact, there hasn't been an apartment approved in this town since I've been on staff, and I don't believe that that's my fault, but nonetheless. So we haven't had an apartment approved in the town for the last 7 years. So when it comes to density, we're way below, and we're way below the threshold when we compare ourselves to the Niagara region as a whole.
Thank you. Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Brady. And I think where I'm going with this whole thing is my thoughts on that are, if we're below where we should be, then, I mean, we bring plans of subdivisions that are brought forward to this council on a regular basis, but we don't have the information about where the density is. And so if we're bringing a subdivision forward and it's not meeting the density that the province is mandating on us, that's the time for us to bring forward and make recommendations to developers and so on that they increase their density and so that we can maintain our balance. But we don't know that. So we're looking at a plan of subdivision and we go ahead and approve it, but we're not getting the numbers as to, or we're not seeing that, well, maybe we can add some density in here. And so if we're just being told that we're well below the average, but we're not given the opportunity to make that those amendments to our plans of subdivisions as we're moving forward, then we're going to constantly be below. So I think it's important that we have it and that it's brought forward and brought to our attention on a regular basis when we're dealing with the plans of subdivision, because here we go, and the mayor is a little concerned about the amount of density that we're having on this one project, and you know, we're playing catch up.
Mr. Brady, is there a possibility going forward then when new developments of this size come to play that a chart could be provided then, just giving us those that information or that stat report?
Certainly, we provide in each report, as is provided in this report, what the density is of the subdivision. What I might suggest is when we do our monitoring report, perhaps we can identify there a little more clear. The problem is, if we put in our reports how much we're below our densities, I'm really concerned that the region will take us to task.
Well, Madam Chair, can't the region take us to task tonight? We're talking about it now. We know that we're well below. The region can just come forward and say, well, how far below are you? I mean, to give us the information and worry about the region taking us to task, the region could take us to task anyway. And that's not the region. This is mandated by the province. I mean, I still think that we need the information in front of us.
Mr. Brady?
If I have specific direction from council to bring this, that's fine. But please recall what I'm saying. We do provide that information now. We constantly are in discussions with developers in terms of trying to get the balance appropriate. And if you will recall last year when we reported to council on the building permits, we identified that 80% of the building permits that were issued by the municipality were single family. The other 20% were townhouses and apartments in the downtowns, predominantly above the tops. That's the first time that we had reached that kind of density. You know, there have been years that I've been here where it was 100% single family in terms of building permits. So there, we can do that. That's fine. I suggest that it would be better if we did it as part of the Q1 reports. And if that's the direction that council wants to give me, I'm happy to take it. But I think it needs to come from all of council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. So, Councillor Lubberts, that may be something that you want to raise under new business then?
Yeah, I'll bring it forward under new business, and I understand where Mr. Brady's coming from, but I think it's important. That's why, I mean, I'm not asking this to send me a report and nobody else sees it. I want a report for all of us to look at so we all have a clear understanding of where we stand. And if there's opportunities for us to make amendments to plans of subdivisions, then we can, or recommendations, then we can suggest some recommendations. So I'll bring it under new business.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did want to note what I think to be a highlight in that when I view this versus the original draft, I am very pleased with the interface that's been created between the commercial designated areas and the proposed and existing residential areas, and as well as the uses that have been defined for those commercial areas. I think it's a good balance for within the development. I think it complements what we need overall in the neighborhood. So I want to thank staff and the developer for working on those concerns that came out of the first public meeting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Any further comments? Your Worship?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to ask, when Mr. Brady had mentioned that this will probably be a phased development, Is there any indication as to how that phasing might roll out?
Mr. Brady?
That hasn't been discussed in detail. However, if you look at the plan, you'll notice that this particular development has two clusters of development, one which is closer to the existing residential and closer to the existing sewers and water lines and all those kinds of things. And then there's a large swath through the middle, which is valley lands and open space. And then on the other side of it, there is a larger area. The developer can come forward with the phasing plan that they wish, but based on my experience, is that I would think that the first would be the area closer to the existing development, and then a second phase would be the area away. And then that diagram, which is now up in front of you, you can see that as you go furthest to the west, there are then two undefined blocks. Those I would suggest would probably be the last development areas.
Madam Chair, so the 30 single family residences, are those the ones in yellow?
It's hard to see from where I'm sitting, but I believe so.
And if it, I know that at one point there was a recommendation that for at least the west portion of this development, construction vehicles would come in from Bowen Road, which means they'd have to start to construct Bowen Road from Thompson Road East. But if they're going to be doing phase one, which is to the east of the creek, it looks like the points of access would either be Phipps Street into Dodds Court onto that new road or over to Crook Street. Are there any other alternatives?
Mr. Brady? Ms. Stolch.
It's on.
Yes. You've given me access now. The other alternative is that North Bowen Road, we can put that into a construction access. It may just be a gravel base. It may not be a full road construction, just to allow those construction vehicles to the north so as not to disrupt the existing community.
Right. So that that makes my impending resolution or motion, I think, even more important, because that means that they'd be making probably left-hand turns off of Bowen onto Thompson and then a left-hand turn off of or at Phipps Street to continue on to Thompson, which would make, boy, this is going to get really exciting. Hey, that's true. That would even make it more interesting because otherwise they'd have to come down. They can't come down the parkway. They're not permit. They'd have to come over the Central Avenue Bridge. Most of those tandem trucks can get under the. So that was some of the other questions that I had. If I might, I know that we'll be addressing the transit issue going down the road as this density as the project builds out. So I believe I think it's appropriate because this is such an important aspect of this development, this intersection. I really think we ought to include the recommendation in the report. I think that we ought to amend this report to include another recommendation. And what I would propose is this, that staff be directed to notify the Region of Niagara and the developer of the need for safety improvements, including possible roundabouts for the intersections of Thompson Road and Phipps Street and Thompson Road and Bowen Road for this development to proceed.
Okay. Then that is the amendment that the mayor would like. Madam Clerk, do you have all of that?
I'm sure the mayor will share a written copy with me.
I will.
Then that amendment is on the floor. Councillor Pissarro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support that. Going all the way back to the Bridgeburg neighborhood plan a decade plus ago, it spoke to the difficulties at this intersection or series of intersections with the subway tunnel in between, and that wasn't even comprehending development proposed such as this. And at the time, it looked at a couple, you know, from 20,000 feet options, and one even went so as far as possibly a realignment of the subway tunnel to better connect with what's on the other side. Given what I see as far as potential DC monies that come through from this development over time, I'm hoping that through staff's conversation, our staff and regional staff coming forward in the future, we could maybe look at some type of funding model to facilitate this. But I look at this as an opportunity to solve what has been a very long-standing issue, a very dangerous issue. I don't think it's too many years, unfortunately, that go by that somebody doesn't lose their life trying to hang a left onto Thompson Road off of Bowen. The other thing that scares me is, you know, if we try to put a stop sign in there as a temporary measure, it's fine if you're coming northbound on Thompson, but when you hang a left coming the other way, you come up on that hill really quick of people who are trying to hang a right onto Bowen. So I really think that this needs to be looked at holistically and just not a temporary solution for one or the other, and this gives us the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Any other comments? Worship?
Can I just say that when CN commented on this, they indicated that there was absolutely no way they were going to permit an overland crossing, a level crossing across their tracks. So we're going to have this underpass is going to have to continue to be utilized, and makes this even more significant.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That carries unanimously. And now, any questions on the report as amended? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries unanimously. That moves us on to new business inquiries. And I apologize. There's a memorandum by Signe Hansen, Manager of Open Space, Planning and Development, Parks and Open Space Master Plan. Does anybody have any questions or comments with respect to that memo? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm excited that that's moving forward, and I don't know at what point in the timeline we'll be doing this, but I would like to put my name forward for my colleagues' consideration to sit on that working group.
So Councillor Passero has expressed an interest. Are there any other councillors that are interested in sitting on that? Seeing none?
I'm interested. So two reps. So
yep. Okay.
I'm interested.
Okay, so we have two reps that are interested. Are there any other individuals that from council? Seeing none. Okay, so it would be appropriate for us to put a motion in place now. Would somebody like to bring that motion forward? Councillor Zanko and seconded by Councillor McDermott. That motion is on the floor to accept both Councillor Passero and Mayor Redekop as the representatives. All those in favor? That carries unanimously.
Chair?
Yes.
Just on this memo, when we all looked at the list of organizations, we probably all thought of some. I thought of the Italo-Canadian Club, I thought of the Black Creek Lions Club, I thought of the Ridgeway Lioness Club, and I thought of the Forteria Optimists just as I was sitting there. So I wonder if we should advise Signe if there are other groups that we think of that fall into these categories so that at least she's got that as she moves forward.
It would be really helpful if anyone who has any of those, please just send an email to Signe. That would be great.
Okay, thank you. Great. Any other questions or comments with respect to that, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to add to the Mayor's comment, there's quite a few youth groups on there. I think what we're also missing is maybe the Army Cadets, Navy Cadets should also be involved. They utilize the parks, et cetera, in town, and I think that they have a stake in this as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Any other comments? Okay. Would anybody else like to bring anything up for business? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I would, I guess it'd be a motion of council to, for council to direct staff to bring forward a report or bring, give us the information on where we stand with our density, the percentage of density with our new home builds. Is that what you're looking for, Mr. Brady?
If you'd like us to bring forth a report, then certainly ask us to do so.
Yes.
So that motion is on the floor by Councillor Lubert. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero first and then the Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just based on Mr. Brady's comments earlier, and maybe this is just a friendly amendment, but I'm hoping that we could just do it as a part of the quarterly reports going forward, if that's okay with the mover.
Yeah, quarterly report. I'm not looking for one on everything, but something so that we can go by and we can go back and say, well, are we meeting our targets? We're not meeting. Now we can see it. We have something that we can picture it ourselves, and we're making decisions with not all the information in front of us, and I think we should have all of it. So quarterly would be fine with me.
That was my point. I mean, that can be part of the quarterly reports that we receive, and then we're getting it on an ongoing basis, as Councillor Passero has suggested.
Okay, so that motion then is for a quarterly report. All those in favor? That motion is carried unanimously. That moves us to, does anybody else have any business? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just based on a conversation that we had for the previous report for Fort Erie Hills, is there anything available to a municipality to induce developers to create a specific type of housing stock? We talked that we have not had apartment-style housing stock and seven plus years. Is there anything available to us to encourage developers to do that?
Mr. Brady?
We do it in terms of the CIP areas. We provide incentives for apartments in the upper areas above the of the commercial. We also try to provide incentives in the form of pre-zoning lands, which we've done on Jarvis and in other areas as well. So those are the techniques that we've used to date. The pre-zoning hasn't worked yet. I'm still hopeful. The incentives have, and we had 28, I believe, apartments created in the number of our downtown cores last year, which was certainly an uptake. So that's rung true. And those are the approaches that we've used.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair, I recognize the significance of how successful the CIP programs have been, but is there anything that we could look to as a part of the development that we just talked about as far as inducing developers to focus on more of a specific type of housing stock? Because we seem to mention it all the time, but obviously there are more dollars to be had in other stocks, and I can appreciate that. It's their land, it's their time, it's their money. But is there anything that we can bring to the table to have them take a second look?
Mr. Brady?
There's nothing that comes to my mind at this present time, but I'll cogitate on it and I'll see what we can do.
Okay, thank you. I'll be up all night, so I'll expect your phone call.
Any other business inquiries? Seeing none, then we'll just move to business status report. Any questions with respect to business status report? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back over to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Butler, and that takes us to Corporate and Community Services. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Corporate and Community Services is now open. We have no presentations or delegations. We'll move to item 9.1, which is new business inquiries. Memorandum from our CAO, Tom Cookett. Administrative report number CAO 142016, newspapers and driveways. Can I get a mover? Councillor Zenko, thank you for moving. That report is on the floor for discussion, comments. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank the CEO for the report and Bev Bottom for her help with the issue as well. I have also seen some improvement, so I support this, the recommendation, but I did want to thank both the local papers for their time and attention with having the matter resolved. I know that it's not completely resolved. I know a lot of residents still do suffer from papers in the driveways, but I think it's very fair to say that both papers have spent time and they're working diligently to fix the issue. So just a kudos and a thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Councillor McDermott.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the report. I guess at the north end of town, we're not really feeling that it's got better. I continue to get, I don't know, I've had probably 10 or 12 this winter, and that's only been a very non-snowy winter. But I know the year before that, I had numerous times where the clearing of the snow with the machine was causing difficulties and people having to get their machines fixed. Now, I know this is just going to set it down the road some more, and that we're not going to make a decision on what we're going to do. You know, this has been going on for some time. This is just not new to this council. It's new to councils in the past. And, you know, I keep getting the same residents that call me each and every year on the issue because it's an issue with them. And I support that sometime we're going to have to do something on it because it doesn't really get any better. I live in an urban area. I think I should probably have a paper boy, but I don't. I have somebody like for Niagara this week. They throw it arbitrarily out the door. If it makes my driveway or makes my lawn, that's good. If not, I have to maybe go down the road for it. Times of use another story. They, in the urban areas, they normally put it in your box. So I don't think we've solved the problem here. I just think we're just putting it out for another day. But I'll tell you, I know that my constituents would be unhappy that this hasn't come to the floor and at least had a vote on it because that's what they just keep telling me. We're pushing it down the line. We're pushing it down the line. And for all intents and purposes, that's what we're doing. So I'm not happy with it, but I know that a lot of effort has gone into trying to negotiate with the newspapers to do better. And so I will just sit here and wait until the day comes that it comes before me that I have a vote on it. But I hope they do better. Nobody hopes more than me. I just hope that they continue to make that effort to solve this difficulty because I know we haven't solved it yet.
Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to echo what Councilor McDermott was saying. I have been paying attention to my neighborhood, and I'm in the north end of Fort Erie, and there hasn't been any improvements. I look at the memorandum, the interoffice memorandum. It says that the CAO felt that both newspapers have taken great strides in making improvements, but they haven't been making any improvements in the north end of Fort Erie. Today, for instance, before we started working, we had to drive to Niagara Falls to pick up some parts, and I made a note to just take a look to see where the newspapers were, if there were any, and just driving from Ridgeway to through Stevensville into the Queenie, there was papers laying in the driveways, laying in the front lawns, and not newspapers from last week. Those newspapers were there for weeks, you could tell. So if they're making great strides, what I would ask is that we get something from the newspapers as to what are these great strides that they have taken, because I haven't noticed them in my neighborhood, and I certainly didn't see them driving into Niagara Falls this morning. So I'm not happy with the way this is going. We got a problem. Let's deal with the problem. If the newspapers can't deal with it, then we're going to have to deal with our bylaw. We have a bylaw in place. Our town solicitor brought this to our attention a while back, and I think we're just playing dodgeball here. So let's do something with it, and if they're going to make these great strides, I'd like to see them start doing it in the North End as well.
The chair recognizes his worship, then I'll go to Councillor Passero, but I also have comments on this, so I'll speak last if it's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that I've been getting, on Saturdays, I've been getting advertising thrown in. So that's not a newspaper, number one. And number two, I thought that it kind of, that had somewhat stopped. When it was a paper. Now we're back to the same stuff. I live in a rural area, and I don't mind getting the papers, but I can tell you that I have neighbors that sometimes aren't there. The papers sit, then they blow into the road, into the ditch across the road, and it's kind of unsightly. So it is a bit of a predicament. I know that the municipality is trying to be reasonable with the newspaper companies. It'd be nice if they put in a bit better effort.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've definitely made progress. We're definitely not all the way there yet. One of the things that they have done is eliminated the Saturday shopping times, which was a huge part of the issue. It's the first I'm hearing of just the flyers. They must only deliver those to homes with disposable income because I haven't received any. We still have a lot of work to do, but I just want to caution everyone, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it.
Was that your first salvo for a raise for counselors?
We're just going to siphon some of yours off and redistribute. One of the concerns that was brought to us by the newspapers is, I mean, we were dealing with the managers from each place. Their decisions are made much higher than them, and we see what's happening in the newspaper industry. And I don't think we're too far away that levying a few fines every week is going to make somebody realize, is this venture worth it anymore? It's about making money. And at that point, is it the dozen complaints that we get on a regular basis from the same individuals who refuse to call the Times and say we don't want the newspaper anymore, does that carry over, and is that more than the individuals who are counting on the newspaper and those flyers to be delivered to their homes? Because we haven't heard from those people yet, but we will if we start to see a decrease in newspaper deliveries. So I think at this point, although I'm not happy with where we are and not necessarily maybe the speed of how we're getting there, I think to take the stick approach at this point doesn't serve us well. I think the carrot approach has at least shown some improvement, and I'm willing to continue with a few more carrots. And let's see where this goes. Thank you. No, I'll be coming over later.
But you've already, can I? I'm going to go to you first.
So when will we be reviewing this again?
Mr. Cookett?
Through you, Chair, to the Councillor. It'll be when council directs me to, or I feel it's an appropriate time, and we received numerous complaints again. Unfortunately, we don't seem to get a lot of complaints in the summer as much as we do in the winter, and we had a very mild winter. So, we couldn't gauge it this winter. Maybe just to back up, why we're here is our bylaw excludes these newspapers, and so we can enforce the bylaw. And the report that came before us long ago was to change the bylaw and enforce it to these newspapers. That will put a tremendous strain on the only two bylaw officers we have. So I just want to make that note. And then it is to collect the fine that would be on the actual newspaper, because we wouldn't go after the carrier. That would be unfair, I think. So we will monitor the situation. If we find that we're getting a lot of complaints, and that's a request from me, if you're getting complaints, please relay them to us so that we know how many complaints are out there. Because I think what's happening now, what I'm hearing, is you're getting complaints, but I'm not aware of them. So I think it's improving. In actuality, it is not. So if you could, please forward those complaints to me with the name of the newspaper that is not being delivered properly. That would help.
Thank you.
Just to comment, because everybody has made comments except for myself, and I do have some comments on this, is that I took the report, you know, that was prepared by Ms. Bradnam and the CAO. The improvements to being, if everybody remembers the photos I supplied, the papers were everywhere. They weren't in bags. They were just blowing everywhere down the road. It was a nice sunny day. The improvements, they are now in bags. As Councillor Luberts did allude to, my neighbor across the street, he has a post with a box on it that says review on the side. It's yellow, but yet his papers keep getting thrown in his driveway, and that's, you know, near the road. He refuses to pick up his papers because the box is right there. To Councillor McDermott's point, I was at home last Thursday, and because my living room faces the street, I could see the van come around the corner, throwing the papers out the window, and just drive by. If I hadn't been on the phone with my mom at the time, I would have actually taken a video of it because it would have been comical, because they stopped right in front of my house and did not throw a paper in the driveway because I have called and canceled. And they went to my neighbor and threw the paper right in his driveway and kept going down the road. So has there been some improvement? Yes, the papers are all in bags, but again, I have four boys. Two of the boys had paper routes. It's a requirement of those paper companies that they placed in the mailbox or at the door. That's what they teach their carriers. Those are the rules that the carriers are supposed to be by, not, and I think it's the paper companies not enforcing that. That being said, I don't want to see the papers go away because not everybody likes to get their fake news from the internet. Some like to read it from Niagara This Week, but, you know, I don't want to see the papers go away. I think they do still serve a purpose, especially in a community like ours. Your Worship, you had your hand up, and so did Councillor Luberts. Did you want to add comments? Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a comment on some of the comments that have been made. When, you know, there's just a few people making complaints, and now our CAO says, well, you know, if you're hearing complaints, you know, bring those complaints to me. Well, I made my complaint, and I sent it to Ms. Bradnam in an email and said that nothing has changed. And I think that the reason this came forward was because we got a lot of complaints, and now we're saying, well, we're not getting that many complaints. Well, we had a mild winter. So every time we have a bad winter, we're going to enforce a bylaw. And then when we have a mild winter, we're not going to enforce the bylaw. I mean, these are the things that this council, if we have a bylaw, this council has to say we're going to abide by the bylaw or we're going to change that bylaw, one or the other. We can't just sweep the bylaw under the rug every time it's convenient for us, or we don't want to upset the newspapers. The Council of Pesero says, you know, be careful what you wish for. Well, maybe they'll quit giving us the newspaper. Well, that's their choice, but these people, they're constantly saying, well, you know, it's increases in cost of doing business. So they increase your advertising. It costs more to advertise. It costs more for this. It costs more for that. But it doesn't seem that they're trickling any of that extra cost for advertising down to the carrier so that the carrier can bring your newspaper to the door. And I understand what Councillor Nutt was saying when he was talking about his boys being a newspaper carrier. I was a newspaper carrier as well when I was younger. And that's what my job was, to make sure that newspaper not only got to the door, it got in between the doors or it got into a mailbox. And if they can't provide that anymore, I can't help them. You know, trickle some of your profits down to your carriers so that they can bring it to the door.
Thank you, Councillor Luberts. This item's under new business and inquiries. Would anybody like to provide direction to the staff at this point regarding this report?
Need to? Just for information.
Well, we can accept the report for information purposes, but this is under business. I'm just wondering if anybody would like to ask staff to proceed in a direction.
I don't know, Madam Clerk. Maybe we could ask.
Madam Clerk?
Thank you. It is a bit confusing because it was there as an information piece, but because there has been a robust conversation, it might be prudent for council to give direction in the way of a motion, either to receive the memo for information or otherwise.
Thank you for the clarification. Councilor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to get some clarification on the, if we're just receiving this for information, if I remember correctly, we had a report with a motion in front of it when this came up, and we were to deal with that, and it was deferred until we had some more consultation with the newspapers. And so what's happening with that there motion? Are we just eliminating it? Because we haven't acted on it yet, and I'm thinking that here's our report. Now we have to act on the motion that was brought forward originally. Maybe staff can bite me on how this is happening. We're losing the report. We're losing the original motion.
Chair recognizes your worship.
Well, I think that's a good point, and I'm not sure whether the last sentence of this memo is addressed to that. It talks about bring back the report for further discussion. It says at a public meeting. I presume that would be a council meeting. Well, those are the options. Receive this for information purposes or direct staff to bring back the report for formal discussion.
Councilor Becerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it did come back once, and I put a motion forward to postpone, so it's just still postponed until staff or council decide that it needs to come back and be revisited. So I, Councilor Luber still has the floor, but if he's done his questioning, I would just put a motion forward to receive this for information purposes. But at any time, whether through staff or council direction, we can bring this back for deliberation. But I'm comfortable tonight for information purposes. But Councilor Luber has the floor.
Councilor Luber.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If we're going to go back to this last sentence here, or last paragraph, then I would like to see some kind of timeline. We're going to monitor this for how long? I mean, when we get the complaints in the news in the winter is when you receive most of the complaints. But the reason is because we have the snow blowers and they're getting stuck in the snow blowers, and the town's going in there with the sidewalk, and they're cleaning the sidewalk, so they have a problem too with our employees. So yes, we have a bigger problem in the winter, but if I'm not seeing any changes 3 months from now, I don't think that I need to wait another winter to bring this back. So if we're going to monitor, let's put a timeline on how long we're going to monitor, and we're going to come back 3 months from now, 4 months from now, and then the CAO can make his recommendations then. Because if nothing's changed in my neighborhood, I say that we enforce the bylaw.
Councilor Luberts, if I could make a suggestion that at the next Corporate Services Subcommittee meeting, that Councilor Pissarro and I bring that to staff and ask them to put a deadline on it, and then we can get a report to Council regarding how long it'll be monitored for. Would that be acceptable?
Well, then how is that going to work? If you make that recommendation, it has to come back to us, to come back to Council, because we need to know that. Okay, 3 months from now, 4 months from now, that's what we're going to do. Like I said, we keep skirting around this whole issue. Sooner or later, we're going to deal with it.
If I could defer that to Mr. Cookett.
Sure, through the chair to the councillor. From what I'm hearing is the problem hasn't corrected or improved. I'd be more than happy to bring this report back at the next meeting and council can decide on it. What it means is we amend the bylaw, which right now excludes newspapers, bring it back and enforce the bylaw. I think what I'm hearing is that's what the majority would like, and I'd be more than happy to bring it back next meeting. I would just want to echo Councillor Pissarro's comments there as well. Be careful what you wish for. There may be no newspapers, because in meeting with them, that's the way they were leaning.
So in other words, Mr. Chair, what we're doing here is the newspapers are saying, you either allow us to throw these things on the sidewalk or in your driveways and plug up your snowblowers, or you're not going to get a newspaper at all. That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, we have a bylaw. If we're going to change, if that's the situation that we're in, then let's change the bylaw. Let's not skirt around it. Change the bylaw. And we can name the newspapers that are allowed or exempted. Anybody else is not exempted. But if let's deal with it. Let's not sweep this bylaw under the carpet and say, oh, well, yeah, we got a bylaw, but we're not going to enforce it because we don't want anybody, we don't want the newspapers to quit giving us our newspapers.
Just before I go to you, Councillor Passero, I just want to give the CAO an opportunity to respond to Councillor Liebert's comment.
Yeah, through you, Chair, to the Councillor. They were suggesting that, but they want to work with us. They have tried to make improvements. You know, the shopping news is no longer there. They put flyers in the newspapers basically saying, if you're going on vacation, please notify us. If they have a carrier that is no longer doing that area and they've got someone in the interim doing that, they provide notice for that as well. They are trying to make improvements. You know, when we do call them, they do respond. If we get a complaint that it's in the ditch or whatever, they try to race out there and get it out of the ditch. But they can only respond if they're aware of the complaint. I'm good either way. If council wishes to change the bylaw, that's perfectly fine with me. You know, I just hate, and all I'm doing is bringing to your attention, they've never been that forceful to say, well, allow us to just throw it out the window and otherwise we're leaving. They've never said that. They want to work with us and they want to improve. But, you know, I think ultimately that's where they may end up.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. I just wanted to add, there's more than one way to skin a cat on this issue, and it always comes down to money, and that can help us and that can hurt us from their perspective. And maybe a couple conversations with their largest advertisers to say, you know what, your customers are not too thrilled that the newspaper keeps going. Maybe the advertiser says to the newspaper, I'm going to withdraw my full-page ad for the next 6 months until this improves in the neighborhood I live in. So there's more ways to have these conversations and to influence change than to take the stick approach, especially when, let's realize it, we don't have the staff here to enforce this bylaw. This is going to be one more opportunity for residents to say, well, you've got the bylaw and you're not doing anything about it. How much further ahead are we going to be when we go down that road? The conversations have been fruitful. I understand they're not going along as fast as some people would like, but something's happening. And until we get to the point where they say, we're not going to do any more, and on our end, we're still not satisfied enough, that to me is the wall when we need to start having more hardened conversations, but I don't think we're there. Councillor Nutt and I, we can have this conversation with corporate services. I have a month in mind that isn't snow, but it's very windy and rainy and probably poses just as many predicaments for newspaper delivery and residents as possible, and we can chat about it at corporate services and very quickly through a memo from staff inform the rest. And if you're not happy with what we decide, the first opportunity or new business, you can override us and bring it forward. So, but let's have the chat where it originated at corporate services and bring it back.
Okay, no further comments or questions. I'll call to question all those in favor of receiving this report for information purposes. None opposed? That carries. I will turn the chair back to his worship. Sorry, one new inquiry from Councillor Zanko.
Thank you. And I'm bringing this forward under Corporate and Community Services because I have a feeling I'm going to be having to ask for some support through finance. But I would also like to, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, ask Mr. Walsh some questions. What I'd like to discuss is Waverly Beach. We have an area that has a wooden path that has been deteriorating for many years. And I know staff has been working diligently to put some resource in place to fix the area, but I also understand that given the conditions, wood is just not the best answer for the fix, and we are planning for a more temporary solution. We just don't have the money allocated this year. And Mr. Walsh, I know you and I have talked about this Would you mind providing a little bit of further background on it for my colleagues?
Mr. Walsh? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Waverly Beach was reconstructed, the boardwalk down there, about 10 or 12 years ago. Through the ravages of time and weather, the wooden substructure in the deck itself is falling into a great state of disrepair. Recognizing this, staff put forward and council accepted a budget item in the 2017 capital program for design this year of a replacement system, and then it was proposed that in the 2018 calendar year the replacement would actually take place. I believe what staff are leaning towards is a concrete walkway in place of the existing wood boardwalk. It's sort of complicated or contemplated by staff that it would be decorative concrete in a fake wood fashion. I believe the time has come that, given the state of disrepair of the existing boardwalk, if it's in council's wishes to advance funding somehow, that we could get that work done this year.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Thank you very much. And just further to what Mr. Walsh had just outlined, I've recently had a resident that has come forward and brought to my attention that their three-year-old fell and cut their chin on the area. So I don't even feel comfortable at this point having it be open for access. But what I would also like to ask through you, Mr. Chair, is to Mr. Jansen, I'm just wondering if it's possible to allocate funding through whether it's reserves to get the work done as quickly as possible, providing I would have my colleagues' support, of course.
Jansen.
Through you, Chair. Yes, we could bring forward, in collaboration with Infrastructure Services, a recommendation to amend the budget to fund those works, likely with some related form of capital reserves.
Thank you. And through you, Mr. Chair, and I think to Madam Clerk, should I proceed with way of notice of motion in that regard, or can I get some direction from you on how you'd like me to proceed?
Madam Clerk?
Through you, I believe that would be in order. Okay, and
Senko, would you like to, at this point, give
yes,
notice of motion?
I would. I would like to give notice of motion, and I'm just wondering if...
No notice, Madam Clerk?
Sorry, just to clarify, we're in council and committee, so there's no section for giving notice, but you can put on a recommendation without a seconder and without notice.
Okay, and I can do that this evening then.
Thank you.
I'd like to put forward a motion that motion defers back to corporate services with regard to a report to come forward for our next meeting, maybe, Your Worship.
Why don't we make it a little more succinct? Why don't you move that staff report to council on how we can move forward the necessary improvements to the boardwalk at Waverly Beach Park, and say within say the next committee meeting.
I was just going to advise you too that the next subcommittee meeting isn't until May 19th, and I don't think that you want to wait.
Mr. Walsh, do you know the amount that's needed?
Quick estimate is not greater than $75,000.
Through you, Mr. Chair, is that an additional $75,000? Or
no,
is...
that would be total project.
Okay, and
Through you, Mr. Chair, Council in its 2017 budget has committed $25,000 already to the project.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Councilor Zanko?
Okay, I'd like to put a motion forward that we advance $50,000 to complete this project this year rather than delaying it any further.
Well, I don't want to get too pedantic on this, but I do think we have to amend the budget, I believe. So I think it would make more sense for us to get the report. The report would be at committee the next regular council meeting. We would be amending the budget, so you'd be able to accomplish what you want, and at least we would have some clear understanding of where we stand and what the steps are. I entirely agree with you that there needs to be something done with this. I spoke to had a meeting with staff a year ago because there were three areas that were fenced off. This is going to happen every year until we change the wood to something more durable. But I think if the next committee meeting is May the 15th, which means that the next regular council meeting following that, when we could amend the budget, would be the 23rd, which is a Tuesday. So we're going to get there if you request the report. Then we'll have information as to what it's going to cost, what's going to be done, and where the money's going to come from. My suggestion.
And in the interim, I'm hopeful that we could close that entire section off to avoid further injury.
I think we should try to do some minor repairs if that's possible.
Mr. Welsh? Mr. Chair, part of the issue is that there's nothing to screw the boards to anymore. The wooden substructure is just completely rotten where the boards are failing. We can look at alternate methods for traverse through there, but I would concur with Councillor Zanko. It's getting worse and worse.
It is getting worse, but there's nothing worse than snow fence on our boardwalk. And if that's what has to be done, I suppose that's what has to be done. But if there are alternatives where we could still use the boardwalk, I mean, I was down there a week ago for the cleanup, and I noticed a couple of areas that are deteriorating, two or three areas maybe, but they weren't like they were a year ago. In any event, I'm not an inspector. I can't comment on the safety.
Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'll wait to hear the exact motion, but it sounds to me like I definitely support it. But my question to staff is, if we're putting snow fence around this boardwalk now, my question is why are we allowing this boardwalk or anything at the town to get deteriorated to the point where we have to put a snow fence around it? Do we not identify it early enough so that we don't have this problem? And I mean, that's my question. I'm really concerned about the fact, is this going to be something that's going to happen throughout town, and we're going to have to make these motions and push things forward?
Your Worship?
Well, this is a particularly bad area because the sand blows in, covers part of the walkway, holds the moisture, nothing that dries it out, the wood rots, then the sand is blown away or recedes or is pushed back, then you've got the exposed wood. So what you see this week may not be what you see next week. And so it deteriorates, and it's not always visible because it's under sand. And for most of the winter, that's under sand or snow, and that's where we're having problems. And the infrastructure underneath has rotted. You can't really see that. Sometimes it rots from the bottom up. So that's the predicament, and it is unsafe.
Okay, back to Councillor Zanko.
Thank you. I also want to, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, get Councillor Pissarro's comments, because he also receives complaints given his ward being so close. But further to the Mayor's comment with regard to nothing worse than seeing snow fence, I tend to disagree, because in my opinion, last week was the worst for me, knowing a child got hurt. So I think that I know for tourists coming to the area, visually, it's certainly not appealing, but when I'm hearing children getting hurt, that's worst case scenario for me.
I'll go to Councillor Pissarro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen, if we were to advance $50,000, would there be any general levy implications at this point?
Jansen?
Through the Chair to Councillor Pissarro. At this point, we wouldn't be adjusting the levy. We would look to our existing reserves to fund a mid-year amendment like this.
And then through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Jansen, as well as Ms. Pavanko, is there anything that precludes us tonight from providing this type of direction and having the bylaw come forward a week from now at regular council? I recognize it only shaves 8 days off, but this is a very heavily used trail. It's gotten very dangerous, and 8 days to me makes a difference. I want to move at the speed of life here, not at the speed of council sometimes.
Through the chair, we would not need a bylaw to make an amendment like this, so you could bring forward the amendment tonight.
Okay, so I don't know if that helps my colleague, but it's her motion, so when the floor gets back to her, she can do that. I just wanted to make one comment as far as I think we do need to do something as far as the snow fencing goes. I think we all recognize it's a dangerous situation, but the one thing I find is with residents and businesses is snow fencing in the absence of any communication is really what draws people's ire. It's just one other thing the town's not fixing. So if we can do the snow fencing, provided how this happens over the next 2 weeks, with some type of sign that says improvements or repairs commencing and a certain date, I think at least people know, okay, it's closed, but they're working on it. And I think we don't do that enough. A lot of times we just put up the orange cone or the orange snow fence, and people have no idea how long it's going to be left to linger. But my preference, if somebody puts it forward, to do whatever we have to do to be in a position a week from now or tonight to get this money there. This is a very popular park for residents and tourists alike, and even 1 week to me makes a difference. If there's no general levy budget implications and we have the money we can draw somewhere, then let's see if we can do that tonight or at regular council a week from now. But that's all, Mr. Chair.
Councilor Zenko?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do tend to agree, and I would like to put the motion forward tonight to move forward with this.
Okay. Can you please read your motion as you would like it stated?
My motion will be, Madam Clerk, did you want to help me with the wording of that maybe? I just want to make sure everything's covered that you need.
Through you, Chair, the motion that's currently on the floor is that staff report to Council on how to move forward with necessary improvements to the boardwalk at Waverly Beach Park. So it would now require an amendment if you're seeking to move forward with budget dollars.
Yes. So I'd like to make an amendment to that motion, seeking budget dollars in the amount of $50,000 out of the reserves.
I can speak to that. I would just want to, if you can give me a moment, I'll just check and see what the original source of funding for that project was, and I would suggest using that carried forward as the amount to fund that.
Thank you.
Mr. Cookett, do you have a comment to add on that?
Yeah, to you, Chair. I just want to jump in really quick and make sure that Mr. Walsh is comfortable with the $50,000. I know he just kind of grabbed that. I'm hoping that $50,000 is enough. I hate for us to make this request to do the works and then $50,000 is not enough. So hopefully he's comfortable with the amount he gave us earlier.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. For safety's sake, so we don't have to amend the budget again, can we amend the budget by $75,000 would be my recommendation for a project total of $100,000 that will get us in for sure, design and construction.
Mr. Jansen, would that require us to amend the budget via bylaw?
To the chair, no, it's not a requirement of bylaw, but we would be amending for that amount. The amendment would essentially be to increase, and I don't know the capital job name precisely, but to increase that capital job by $75,000 using funding from the. And I don't know if Mr. Walsh can recall, I don't have the document here of what the original source of funding for that would have been. Failing that, we could use the general levy rate stabilization reserve, which has adequate funding.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Sounds to me like we're making this more complicated than it really needs to be. I'm just wondering, I think we all understand, we all agree that this needs to be done, and some of us want it done right away. But can we not get a report from staff for next week's meeting with the options, right? And then we can approve it next week. So now that gives them time, gives Mr. Walsh some time to take a look at the project to make sure how much money is actually required. And it also gives Mr. Jansen some time to take a look at where the source of funding will be. And then the report will come next week. And then if we agree, then we vote on it. And if it's carried, then they can proceed with the project. And we can get a timeline as to when that project will get started as well. But I think right now what we're doing is we're throwing a bunch of numbers around and everything. We don't really know what the exact cost is. And Mr. Jansen's already indicated now two different sources of funding. So
that would be at the preference of Councillor Zenkowitz for motion.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that I'm just making a recommendation. I'm going to support it, but I think it'd be easier on staff if they know the exact number that they're going to be throwing at us.
I was just going to say I'm happy to include that in the amendment for staff to report on the exact amount, and then we can debate it or agree on it next week. That doesn't stall the process, and we'll have the information that we need as well.
Yeah, I think that changes her amendment to the motion, if I'm correct, Madam Clerk. Go ahead, Your Worship.
Well, I'm just wondering, we're all anxious to move forward with this, and I think that's actually a good thing, and I appreciate you bringing this forward, Councillor Zanko. Have we started the design work yet?
For you, Mr. Chair, no, we haven't.
And do we have any idea as to when the design work will start?
Mr. Walsh? With the project now under construction for this year, I can make a phone call this week. I was going to look into a landscape architect. And if the amount is under, I believe, $10,000, we can do it within the purchasing policy. And there is an exemption that the CAO can give if the amount is slightly above that, but I don't foresee design fees being above 10. So I could make that phone call this week, get that process going.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, if we get the landscape architect lined up, any idea how long it might take for that work to be completed?
Depending on how busy they are, they can probably do the design within a month. There is some structural elements to this sidewalk that I foresee, and then the approval process on the design. If council wishes an open house type forum for the public, or if we would like that the architect to make a presentation to council on the generalities of design, we can go one way or the other on that. Or if council doesn't wish to see the design, which I don't think we want to, we can go down that road as well.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, would we tender this project for construction without the architect's design work being completed?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I don't think that's a good idea.
All right. So, Mr. Chair, my point is that whether we get all the information for next week and vote on this issue next week so that we know exactly how much it's going to cost and have some idea as to the direction we're going, we're not going to move this project forward any faster. And I think it would be a far more business-like approach for us to be taking. I think we need to have some more information. I appreciate the zeal of wanting to move this forward, and it is a safety issue, but I think it would be helpful if we had a sound understanding and clear numbers on what we're doing as we move forward. We're going to get to where we want to get just as quickly because there's still the design work that needs to be done. Staff is now fully appreciative of how important this is to council that we deal with this. So I would suggest that we get the report, get the information contained in the report, and we can deal with that next week, and we can pass that next week.
Councilor Zanko, is that acceptable?
I'm interested to hear what my colleagues have to say. I just would prefer to have funds allocated so it doesn't stall the entire process. But I'm interested to hear what my colleagues have to say.
Councilor Passero?
I'm comfortable with 1 week, as long as we're in a position to get the guidance of staff, any conversations they may or may not have been able to pull together with the landscape architect, as long as we're in a position 1 week to allocate whatever funds are necessary to move the process along. But I don't just want an information report in 1 week where now we have to wait another week or another 2 weeks. Everything comes back 1 week from now, and let's get moving on it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councilor McDermott?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Councilor Passero, but in the meantime, we don't want anybody else getting hurt. So if that means we put a snow fence up with a sign, I think we should do that, like, first thing in the morning. Because, you know, one person getting injured on that just leaves the door open for many more to get injured. So I put this right up there with sidewalks that, you know, are trip hazards. Once we know they're a trip hazard, we have to fix them, because if somebody else falls on the next one, you know, it just compounds all the problems. So we're going to close that down and do that in a week. I'm good with that.
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, we can get that done very shortly. If I may make a comment just on the process we're undertaking right now, we do have funding approved for the design. So that's not going to hold up the process at all. We're probably, as I said, a month and a half for design and approval of the design. We add it to an existing sidewalk contract or retender it. We may make that decision at the presentation of the design based on the construction estimate. And I would suggest at that time we can do the budget amendment when we have a better idea of how much money we actually need for construction. We do have $100,000 proposed in next year's budget for construction. That's plenty of money. So any decision made on further budget expenditures this year don't have to be made tonight, nor next week, nor even a month from now, but shortly thereafter. So I don't think the amount is important.
So just to summarize what you're saying, in the report that's going to come before council next week, we can expect to see next year's capital project item number to be advanced to this year's capital construction project?
And what I was suggesting was we hold off on the report. We have the funding allocated already for design. We can go ahead with that. And then when our architect comes back with a construction estimate, then we can allocate the funding rather than argue back and forth or debate back and forth on how much we need and when it should come forward.
I think that the concern that Councillor Zanko has pressed during this whole robust conversation is that there needs to be a greater sense of urgency, and voting on it next week, I think, creates that. And as long as staff have that understanding that our expectation is that this gets fixed immediately or as quick as possible and that we not drag our heels. So I think that her constituents and herself would be more comfortable if it's all approved and we know the work is going to be forthcoming than wait and delay. And if the money of $100,000 is already in next year's budget, we just would be advancing one item. Is that not correct, Mr. Jansen?
Somewhat. I wouldn't oversimplify the fact that we do manage some of our reserves from year to year with what we have available. So in this case, I have checked, and there is a room in that reserve to advance it this year.
Chair recognizes your worship.
Well, what I got from Mr. Walsh was that all we need is for Councillor Zanko to move that council approve the acceleration of the construction of this project from 2018 to 2017, and have staff tell us when and how that's going to happen. So maybe that should be your motion.
I agree. I think that would probably simplify things, and I'd like to make that motion, I guess amended motion, to the amended.
Withdraw your other motion.
And just
Madam Clerk, how do you want me to word this so we're compliant here? Okay, I'm going to withdraw my previous motion.
Thank you.
And I'd like to put a motion on the floor to proceed with acceleration of the works to Waverly Beach for 2017 rather than 2018.
Okay, that motion is on the floor for comment or question. Do you need it reread, Councilor Lubbers? Okay, good. Seeing no questions or comments, all those in favor? None opposed? That carries. Now I'll give the chair back to his worship.
Thanks, Councillor. That was easy. Okay, scheduling of meetings. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a street naming committee on Wednesday, May 3rd, here at Town Hall at 5 p.m. in Conference Room 3.
Can I mention to you, Councillor Zanko, that my wife saw someplace somebody suggesting that some of the names for new streets in Crystal Beach might be reflective of some of the attractions at the old Crystal Beach Amusement Park. I don't know whether that's come up for any discussion, but since the opportunity arose, I'm passing on her thoughts. She thought it was too. Councillor Butler and then Councillor Lubbers.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a Ridgeway BIA meeting on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. at St. Luke's Church.
Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. We have a BIA meeting, Crystal Beach BIA meeting, tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the Crystal Beach Fire Hall.
Others? Then can I have a motion for us to go into closed session? Councillor Butler, are there any questions or comments about that? All in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Okay, we're back in open session. I wonder if someone would like to move that Council and Committee does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 9:48 p.m. with a report that staff proceed as directed and report back to Council. Councilor Butler, are there any questions or comments on that? All those in favor? That is carried. And could I have a motion to adjourn, Councilor Nutt?
Certainly, Your Worship. The Council and Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 9:49 p.m.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried.